Blog Talk Radio.
We ain't gonna do nothing but play one song, then we're gonna come back. And since we gotta play one song, what one song should I play? I'll play my own shit. Fuck some hoes. I gotta put some new music up there because I'm thinking them songs is old now. It's time to put some, well, they all old songs, but I gotta put new music up there. It's time to put some new stuff up there. I know what everybody like hearing, but I gotta hear my. This is my jam. I don't give a fuck. I love this song.
Here we go.
People out there who believe monogamy is a good thing, I ain't mad at you. But this is how I feel about that whole session. OCP, break it down. Oh, hey, y'all didn't know a nigga can make tight ass beats like this. Peace out to my man Ray J. Hey man, you got a shot back at Kim Kardashian. She done left that lane, nigga. But you might have to jump over Reggie Bush to get her. Hey, y'all gonna love this. This your boy T-Dog Madness. T-Dog Baby. My first song I did in a few years. Y'all don't like it, fuck it. I'm bored.
Listen, first I had one. Then a nigga got two, fuck around, got a little bit of cash. What you know, now a nigga fuck around with a whole damn crew. Nobody used to care, used to call me a cheat. Now the ladies calling me a player. No fighting, now they stayer. With asses in the air. Haters, they stop and stayer. Cause I'm hopping out the coupe, five hoes in the group. Had to tell a nigga that a nigga just like truth. Cause I'm not so, so what you wanna do? So if you wanna test me, go ahead and grab your number two pistol in your hand, Tron. Cause I'm a killer just like Tron Manson. And I be doing shit that you can't, son. While I'm taking me a breath, let me see you put your hands up. When they play this in the club, all the real niggas, they gon' stand up. Now they don't like me, cause I be flossing and toasting ones. Since they put me in a room full of bitches, man,
if
I can't talk this one.
Bitch, she be an okay. If she ever spray, I cut her like OJ. If I had one bitch, I would be called lame. They say I had no game, I'd probably go insane. If I had one bitch, that would be lovely. If I was a bitch, it probably would fuck me. If I had one bitch, my bills would go unpaid, begging to get laid, and that just ain't okay. If I had one bitch,
depending on one chick, hoping she can give a nigga everything that he needs. It's like trying to get high off a joint when a nigga roll around with a bag full of weed and a bottle of the Hennessy. And a chick that done took a couple ecstasy. Since I got more than one, I don't have to worry about a chick wanna have sex with me. D-O-double-G, baby, you can call me S-O-T-O-M-A-Y-A-O-R. Call me Billy Ocean, cause every chick you done seen in your dream wanna get in my car. Am I a star? Hell no, I'm just a little black nigga with a big mouth phrase in the South. But don't you walk up on me too quick and be like Roy Jones, you get knocked the fuck out. People hate wanna stick this behind my back, but that don't faze me. Looking at him like I'm crazy, yelling out T-Dog baby. So go ahead, keep hating me, nigga. That's the best that your life's gonna get. I'ma keep talking shit, and I ain't gonna stop for one nigga or one.
If I had one bitch, she'd be an old bae. If she ever spray, I cut her like OJ. If I had one bitch, I would be called lame. They say I had no game, I'd probably go insane. If I had one bitch, that would be lovely. If I was ugly, she probably would fuck me.
If I
DMV Staffing, national industry leader in staffing opportunities. Our years of staffing experience has taught us a few things. If you provide the right opportunity and a very high salary, people will perform their very best. We understand that needing more money than you're currently making is not your fault. We know if given the right opportunity, you could make more money. What if you could send your children to the best schools and take multiple vacations a year? If you had the right opportunity to make more money, you could.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tommy Sotomayor. And I'm sure you're like everyone else out here that wants to take control of your work future. Well, one of the best ways that we here at Your World, My Views know how to do that is to get in contact with DMV Staffing. Just log on at dmvstaffing.com or go to yourworldmyviews.com and tommysotomayor.com. SotomayorTV.com, where the links will take you to DMV Staffing, because we know DMV Staffing will do all that they can to make sure that you have the job of your dreams. You want to make sure that you can take that vacation you wanted and you can take care of your family as well as those around you. And that starts finding a job that can help you be financially secure. So go on to DMVStaffing.com and make sure that you let them know Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
Working here for a few years. I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career. And everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
I knew I needed to talk to somebody about money when I opened my design shop.
When Mom got sick,
my daughter is engaged already.
I felt sort of stuck.
I went to SunTrust.
I just wanted to talk to someone.
And they listened.
Helped me see options I didn't know I had.
Now I'm moving forward.
Now I can focus on what's really important.
I'm better off than I thought.
At SunTrust, we're here to help you find the answers you're looking for.
This is my baby girl.
That's why we start every conversation with, how can we help you?
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. As y'all can see, the shirt says, son of a bitch. Go and pick you up some. Now, as you also can see, I have beads around my neck. Well, I was told that it is Fat Tuesday. And I just played a song from a video where I was fat as hell. If you guys have not seen that video, you can go see it. The One Wish video where I admitted I was fat. I was at the swimming pool looking like Dr. Comrade Murray. I was fat than a motherfucker. I don't know how I was that fat. I said, damn. For the people who don't know how to go find my music, go to youtube.com/Sotomayor Music. Go look for the song One Wish. I was fat. I was fat than a son of a bitch. I remember when I put that picture up, I said, damn, I'm fat. So I put it up for that reason. When I put the video up, I put it up because I said I'm fat. Let me tell you what happens. It's easy for a man to get fat. If you're getting fed, fucked, and given your freedom. As a man, it is a bad deal. If you're getting fed, fucked, and given your freedom, you just sit around and eat, and the bitches keep feeding you. Here, nigga, eat. You either eat this pussy or eat this food. Well, the pussy, the food is going down easier. I'll eat the food. I'm getting less of the food in my beard. Less of that is lingering in my mustache. So I'll eat the food. Well, I'm being told it's Fat Tuesday, and that is rather ironic because I'm fat. But y'all see how quick it was for me to lose weight? I started my little odyssey in November. 4 months later, a nigga was slim and trim. Nigga told me, he see me Sunday. Nigga saw me. He said, man, you look good. I thought this nigga was finna ask me for my phone number. He said, you look good. You look like you've been in shape. You've been in the gym. I said, nigga, I ain't been in the gym. I stopped eating that fat ass hog maws and chitlins and shit. I stopped it. I cut it out. And you can too. Cut out dumb shit. That's all you got to do. Stop drinking all them damn sodas. You can have some. But don't drink a bunch. Y'all, I almost messed myself up. But you can don't drink a bunch. There's a young woman who was on the line today. Who wanted to talk. This is not a soda. This is supposed to be for Mardi Gras. I think it's some kind of alcoholic beverage. It might be an arsenic drink. I don't know. Let's bring in Maisha. You know I want you so bad.
No, not the ABC. No. I was in eighth grade when that came out. Please.
Oh, you are telling your age, Maisha.
That's okay. You tell yours all the time.
That's right, girl. That's right. And we should be proud of ours. We are the last of a dying breed, are we not?
That's right.
Yes, we are.
We're going to make some people, more, though, eventually.
Yes, we have to. It's our job. We might be past making some more, but we sure can teach some more, right?
I'm not that old.
I don't know about me. I believe if I had a child right now, I don't know. Me and him would hang
out.
You're
already on your way.
Your
daughter's going to be amazing, I can tell. She loves her dad.
Yeah, I think that's – the more I think about it, that's probably – now, I honestly keep thinking I want to have two more of them.
You should, Tommy.
Because I think I'll make a great father. A shitty husband, but a great father.
No, I think you're good on that part, too.
Well,
your girl
you
hasn't
beautiful.
Played your videos down yet, so you good.
Right. You got a strong spine and for several reasons. But you wanted to talk about my man, Christopher Dorner.
Right, I did.
What are your thoughts on him, seriously?
Well, I watch a lot of Fox, CNN, different news venues, and you, of course, and I think you did some really great reporting on it. However, there were a lot of inconsistencies just from the beginning, starting with the color of the truck. I noticed when LAPD set the color of the truck and when reporters set the color of the truck, on the highway it was gray, on the television it stated gray. Yet they shot up a blue truck. It wasn't just a regular blue truck. They said silver. They said all different stuff. But they shot up the two Asian ladies. Then they shot up a black truck. I'm not understanding where that came from. And then with the truck being burned out with the ID, and they said his police ID was in there. But the thing is if you get fired from the police, don't they take all that stuff back? Who had access to that? So there are a lot of different inconsistencies with that. Also, the fact that he's in the Navy at the time, but he can't take a boat. That doesn't make sense.
Let me say this, and I'm going to see. I think I know where you're going with this, so let's have a little conversation about this. I think a lot of this stuff is fake and manufactured, so even if, because who knows if this man even exists? But if the man exists, I believe everything that happened after he went AWOL, so to speak, all of that was crap that was made up to try and build public fear over him to make the public dislike him. So when they execute him, the public won't question it. What do you think?
That's what I was getting to. I feel like because his mind is very organized, obviously, he was already in the military prior to going into the LAPD. So a very organized mind wouldn't do the types of things that he's doing right now. I don't feel he killed those people. I feel that he had a lot of information that he compiled over the time that he was there, and he was about to drop a bombshell, so they had to manufacture a lie to get him exterminated before the people at the top had to be at the bottom and get questioned. That's how I feel about it. I don't know for a fact that he was in that cabin today, but if they were really doing an intense search, the weather wouldn't have stopped them. The weather wouldn't have stopped you if you're looking for they call him a mass murderer, but it was like three people. So I'm not understanding that because you have people shooting up theaters, but they're not considered mass murderers and things of that nature. So I just feel there's a lot of inconsistencies with it. I honestly don't believe he was in the house. I feel like at this point, since they couldn't find him in this amount of time in that state, because the thing is, how can you backtrack 100 miles with all the roadblocks? It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. In police, my dad was an officer in Dallas. I'm in Chicago now. But we know a lie when we see it. You can hear the lie, you can see the lie. And it started with the inconsistency about the color of the truck. And then all of a sudden the truck is burned out. But then he leaves his ID. Now he's buying scuba gear. Who knows how long ago that video was? They could have said, we're going to subpoena all your videos from the last time he charged a car there. We don't know for a fact that that was real time. Because if he was buying scuba gear, why wouldn't the people say, hey, he was just here buying scuba gear? It doesn't make sense. Thank you. I like you too, Tommy. You have cost me friends on Facebook as well, just like that other gentleman, but that's okay. We still talk on the phone. They'll be back.
I'm telling you, everything that you're saying, and I want to ask you a question because before I bring in my guest, and I want to talk to you guys after she leaves too, it'll be a quick interview, but I got to ask you, how did you get that mind to be that analytical? Because I'm telling you, and you should know it by the people you hang around sometimes, you realize you're a rare breed.
My father's a retired Marine and an ex-cop.
There you go.
And my mom's crazy. But it's too late now. They're over 40 years and plus, and he knows she's crazy, and he just tiptoes around her. That's okay.
Sometimes crazy keeps you sane.
It does. It keeps me in check. Like, not that.
I tell people all the time, I stay surrounded by at least one nut so I can know I'm sane.
That's right. Yeah. Get the questions out there. But like I said, there are a lot of inconsistencies, and I would love for you to get on top of the Trayvon Martin case. We've got that upcoming. And I don't want to get off the subject, but Zimmerman tried to get his date pushed back on Trayvon's birthday, XYZ. I got a lot of things about that, too. Don't make sense. I'd love for you to do some things on that when it gets closer to, I believe it's June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So
I tell you what, Hey, here's what I want to do. I want you to stick around because after the interview, I'm going to bring you back in and I'll let you talk with me. I want you to help me talk to the other people if you have the time. How about that?
I don't have a problem with that.
That's what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be joined by and I'm going to be helped by the young lady that you're hearing because I love to hear people who talk like that. So Maisha is going to help me talk to you guys on the show because we need sane women talking to other women. But we also need sane people talking to the masses. And I want you guys to hear how analytical she was about this whole case. She didn't show emotions like I showed emotions. You know me, I get to cussing and crap, talking a bunch of crap, saying a bunch of crap. Just crap on top of crap. But she broke it down very simple. Y'all watch what I do. That's what I like about these people. Rachel, Raquel Adele, I called her Rachel. Why did I call her Rachel? Raquel Adele is supposed to be on the show. Watch this. We're going to do a live phone call. I like when we do it like this. Where I live call people. Watch this. We're going to live call her into the show. You ever wrote two numbers on top of each other? And for some reason, the first seven numbers be right, but then the last four be wrong because you got it from the other number? Well, I just did that.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak with Raquel Adele?
Hi.
What do you got going on in the background, girl?
Oh, I have a CNN going on in my background.
Well, let's give you a proper introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the line here with a beautiful actress. She was in the show on ID Network called I Almost Got Away With It. So you know her character did not get away with the shit. No. Ms.
No,
Raquel Adele. Raquel, how's it going, dear?
Everything is going good. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to correct you. My name is Raquel Earl.
I'm saying it wrong? I was like, it looked like Adele. Earl.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you were saying it wrong. I'm not trying to be
No, you need to correct me. This was
about
you. I was calling the man on the man I interviewed before you. I was saying his name wrong. Y'all be spelling your name all the way. It's Earl. I am a Panamanian Atlantan. I'll say a whole bunch of stuff wrong before the night over.
I forgive you. It's fine.
I'm going to have to make it up for you. We're going to have to go to dinner and a movie. How about that?
All right. That'll
work, I don't like the apprehension in your voice. I don't like the apprehension in your voice. We got to change that. Well, let's talk. Here's what we got to do. First off, I got to ask you a little bit about what you say you are watching. You're watching CNN.
Yes.
So before we get into what it is you do for a living and how you've done it and how well you are at it, I want to ask you about what are your thoughts as a native Californian or a Californian right now. What are your thoughts of the situations that's going on with Mr. Christopher Dorner?
Oh, my God. I think that it's crazy. It really, really is, like, surreal to me right now. It's like watching a movie. But I know that it's people that are really, really going through this, and I think about how sad it is. It's just really, really sad. It's sad that a man was going through this, you know, that it really bothered him that much to make him, like, want to wreak havoc on people's lives. I think that it's horrible the way that they fired him. LAPD has always been known to be very corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, everyone knows that it's a corrupt. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that LAPD is known to be corrupt. So he just really took it to the extreme. And it's just crazy how it's played out. It's just like a movie unfolding right before your eyes. It's crazy.
Let me ask you, were you guys on edge out there in California? I mean, you're a little bit north. You're in you're in San Fran, but were you guys on edge out there thinking that, you know, maybe he could come up there or blah, blah, blah? What were your thoughts?
A lot of people were thinking that he could come up here. Like, they thought that, you know, maybe someone that was connected to where he worked at the time might have lived here, and that he was coming to get them, and that he was, you know, had all, ever, all, you know, who knows what this guy planned out. He was obviously, like, had this, like, mastermind thing all set up. You know, he had really, this is, doesn't seem like it was just a fluke and he just decided to do this overnight. It seemed like he had really planned this out.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what was really bothering me. Like, people were trying to make it seem like this guy was just, no, this was something planned out. This was something that had been done to this man over a long time that he just got tired.
Yeah, he, you know, like, he really, you know, sat down and decided what he was going to do. He intelligently plotted this out. This is not, like, a spur-of-the-moment type thing, you know. This is something that really, really deeply bothered him. And he got his message across, you know, and it's really, really terrible that, I think that it's really, really sad that people have lost their loved ones, you know, because of this. It's really, really sad.
And you know what's really the sad part is that, okay, they're saying he's dead now. Well, here's the problem. What's going to happen is you will never hear his side of the story.
No, you'll never hear his side of the story. But you know what? Like, for his family, I'm sure the people that were really close to him, his mother, you know, the people that loved him, I'm sure that they have definitely have his side of the story. They've probably gotten an earful over the years. Because when someone that you love, if, like, something like that happens to them, like, they're, you know, he probably had high respect for the LAPD to want to become a part of their force. And to find out, you know, that, like, you know, in his eyes, or, you know, like, the allegedly his partner had, like, hurt someone and he reported it and he was fired for it. That's devastating. And, you know, the people that, if that happened to my loved one, I know I would never hear the end of it. You know, that's just like, you know, that would drive most people up the wall a little bit, you know?
No, you're
so
right.
I'm sure that there's people out there that know his story and will tell it.
I really do hope that they are. And ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Miss Raquel Earl. And Raquel, this is something that's funny. You were in a show called
I Almost Got Away With It.
Now, Christopher Dorner, maybe he wasn't really trying to get away with it, but But somebody's going to have to play him one day, and I almost got away with it. Tell us about, because I love the show. I love it because I think it's funny. It's like you're going to watch the guy get caught. It's just basically about how the guy or the girl got caught. Tell us about the character you played in there.
Okay. I enjoyed the show, actually, before I ended up on it. It is kind of funny, and usually I'm, like, rooting for the guy to get away, but in my case, I was definitely not rooting for the person that I portrayed to get away because she was really, really a sinister kind of character. It was crazy. The person I played, her name was Patsy Jones, and her case was highly publicized. She had murdered a tourist that was a German tourist that was coming in from Miami. There was a lot of carjacking. This was, like, in the early 90s. And, like, I think she was, like, 20 years old, 19, 20, you know. Like, she had, like, two of these guys that, like, her boyfriend and this other guy, you know, she had been, like, doing a kind of little crimes all over Miami. And they, like, were trying to carjack these people and, like, ended up killing them. And they ended up getting her boyfriend first, and he ratted everyone out, and she was on the run. So it was pretty crazy playing that part, like trying to run away and, like, like just seeing all kind of, you know, just seeing like kind of police, like, and like imagining them looking for you, it's really scary. Like, I just can't, you know, only imagine what it must be for him or like for anybody on the run, you know, like it must be really, really scary, you know. I think that it would be easier to just get locked up and just do the time.
You're right. Now, let me ask you this. What did you do to get into character? Like, what did you do in order to try and get into the person's mind? And then give us an idea of what you do in acting to try to get into whoever you're playing's mind. What is one of the, some of the things you did to get into her mind? And what do you do typically to try to get into the character's mind that you're playing?
Well, it's more like, what do I have to do to get my mind to the point of where theirs was? Like, you know, I don't know how she must have felt, but I kind of like painted a picture of a person that, like, you know, I know a little bit about her. She grew up really rough. She had it really hard. Didn't have her mother. I think that she had been a foster child and wasn't really loved, and like really had to do what she had to do to get what she needed. And I just, like, you know, thought of like what it would feel like to be like really, really desperate for money, really, really angry, like, you know, I don't care if I hurt anybody, you know, like that's why I had to bring myself to a really angry, desperate place, you know. And it was just crazy. And, you know, I had to think of myself as like a, you know, kind of like a kid, like kind of not knowing what you're doing, but like just reckless and wild. And like, you know, she was just like rebellious and bossy, you know.
Yeah, I like that idea of what you said. Basically, you had to take yourself to where, how to basically get your mind. Like, if I play Nat Turner, or if I play Chris Dorner, I have to get myself to what drove them to where they made the action. So I guess I like that take on it. Let me ask you this. What got you into wanting to be an actress?
I really like the, you know, you're rewarded for expressing an emotion that is not normally acceptable. Like, you know, like if you're really upset or like really heartbroken or like really happy and like you're, you know, expressing that in like a really like big way, it can be kind of embarrassing and like people will look at you funny or wonder if you're crazy. But as an actor, like people really love it and like you're celebrated for it. So I think that's like the most fun thing about being an actor. And that creative aspect is like really what drew me to it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you
deal with the nerves part of it? Or do you have the nerves? Because me, I have nerves.
I definitely have nerves. I have nerves like most of the time. I think that like practicing, like going to school, like really knowing your craft, like it builds confidence in you. When you really, really know something and you feel like you're thoroughly know it, it makes you have a lot more confidence, and that helps lessen the nerves. But they're still there a little bit, and then you just have to kind of work through them. I definitely always get a little bit nervous. Like just talking about nerves actually makes me a little bit nervous, you know, just talking about them.
It is one of the most difficult things. One of the things, ways that I deal with the whole nerves part of it is I just picture the fact that I think they are nervous just as much as I am. They are in, mm-hmm. I try to just somehow believe that they're in just as vulnerable position as I am. If I was being cast for something, I would assume that their job is just as much on the line because they have to pick the right person just as much as I have to put on the right performance.
That's a good way to look at it, because I know that it must be hard to find the right person, and like it would really suck to have like to audit all day and not find anybody that you feel like is good
yep.
enough. So I definitely, I never even thought about it like that.
Yeah, their job is on the line. Their job is on the line when they're casting for something. That person's job on the line if they didn't cast right. Everybody's job is somewhat on the line for what they're doing. So it kind of calms me down because I just look at them and say, hey, they're having as hard a time as I am. Maybe if we can have fun, maybe that will be the connection that will allow us to work together.
Yeah. I definitely know what you mean. Like, I feel like the best work experiences that I've had, like, where the energy was, like, really light and fun and everybody, like, got along. And it wasn't, all about, like, repercussions and, like, a lot of, like, fear. Like, oh, my God, what's going to happen if I mess up, you know?
You're right. And that's why I've always looked at things and said, I always tell people, it might be funny, but I tell them, any woman I've ever been with, it's just been because I've made her feel comfortable enough to think that she can laugh and relax her guard. You're not always the handsome guy in the bed. That's not why you got in the bed. You sometimes just got there because you were able to relax that person. So I make sure I look at things as a relaxing experience. I just try to knock people's guard down. And I would assume that might help you if you just try to bring the guard down of a lot of people when you get in front of them. Now, what's been your most difficult to date? What's been your most difficult role to try to take on or to try to audition for? What's been something that you've had a hard, or maybe a role or a character you've had a hard time trying to catch?
Well, the kind of characters that are harder for me is like playing a more, like being like really sexy and seductive. Like it's really, really hard for me to be that kind of role because I'm super goofy and like I'll like try to find some way to, I don't know, it'll end up being funny in some way. I don't know. I just feel like that's, usually those are the type of roles are something that I would not take on. So
you have a hard time. You don't think you could do a love scene?
I think that would be kind of like, I don't know if I could be ready for, I don't know if I'm ready for a love scene. I don't know. I could probably do that, but it would probably take me, that would be difficult. I would really like, I don't know. It's kind of hard to do that because you would have to do that scene like 1,000 times. Like, it would be really, really crazy. If I really liked my co-star, it wouldn't be so hard. You know what? Maybe if I had like a really fine co-star, it wouldn't be so hard. You know what? Maybe I might be ready for a love scene. That might be kind of fun.
Exactly. You have to let yourself go. And I would assume love scenes are harder for a man because you end up getting hard and you can't help it. And everybody can see it. As a woman, you can hide all that stuff. Even if you were getting into it, you can hide it.
It's still, I know what you mean. It's not visible, like, for everybody to see in the room, but it's still awkward. I did a short film where I had a makeout scene, and it was kind of fun. It was, like, a lot of fun. It really wasn't all that boring, but a love scene is a little different. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking it might be different. In my head, I'm thinking of, like, Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes, and they're, like, rolling around in bed with, like, the white sheets.
Right. Now, tell me this. Who is somebody right now you'd like to work with?
Who's somebody right now that I would like to work with?
Yeah, like if it would be an honor to do something with them. Like, it would be an honor for me. Let me tell you who I'd like to work with. Steve Carell. I'd love to work with Steve Carell.
Why?
Because I think he's one of the most comedically talented people in the business right now.
Okay. I mean, This is such a hard question because I love so many people and I want to work with so many people. And I'm actually kind of shy about, I don't know why I feel weird about saying this, but everybody, I mean, all my friends and everyone knows that I'm, like, obsessed with Johnny Depp. I don't know if I don't even know how I'd be, like, end up casted in a movie with Johnny Depp or like, doing anything with him, but I don't know. I really love him. I love his work.
What would probably be his favorite thing that you've seen? What would be his favorite thing? What do you like him in most?
What do I like him in most? I don't know. My favorite movie with Johnny Depp is probably Edward Scissorhands. I don't know. That sounds like really weird. I really like him in Edward Scissorhands, but I love him in all kinds, in everything, in all kinds of movies. I love him in Pirates of the Caribbean. And Gilbert Grape, I can just, you know, I love him in everything, but I think Edward Scissorhands is like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, what I like about him is the fact that his humble beginnings. I think he, if you look at anybody that's come from something and went to something, he's a great model to look at.
Is that
yeah,
one of the
things
that you
look at? Yeah, I know he's like from Florida or something. I don't even, no, I really don't think about that when I think of him. I just think, I love that, like, he does character work really, really well. Like, you really don't even know that much about him. Like, you know, what does he do on every day? Because his characters are, like, so different from, I don't know, he has, like, these crazy characters that he
you
plays.
You know what, that is weird. That is weird that you don't really know much about Johnny Depp. Like, you don't hear about him in that is weird. You don't, and as long as he's been in the business, no one really knows him. You don't see anything about him. You don't catch him in the tabloids. You don't catch him doing something crazy. It's just he works and he goes home, it seems like. Is that you?
Yeah, that's so much. Yeah, that would be like me. I think that's how I would love to be. Like, I think that would be, like, really weird to have a lot of attention, like, for non-work. I would love to have all the attention be of, like, how good my work is and not, like, about who I'm with or, you know, or, like, how weird I am or how normal I am, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Do you, go ahead.
I think that kind of sucks that, you know, sometimes, like, some people are, like, harassed about, like,
you don't
want
to be Lindsay Lohan, is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, even though I love her, though. I love Lindsay Lohan.
No, I do, but she's known for more of what she's done off of the stage now than on.
I know, it is. It's a shame because it's a shame that she's known for more than what she's known off because she really does have some, like, good stuff that she's done in the, you know, in the past.
Now, she is talented. And that's why I want to ask you this one last question to ask you about the world of acting. We've had a lot of actors on here, and they talked about how difficult it is for a black female as far as getting quality roles. Have you found it difficult for black females, or is this just a case-by-case thing?
I think that's true to a certain extent. I think that when it comes to theater, there's more color blinding, like, in theater. Like, you'll see all kinds of white roles, like, traditional white roles played by black lead actresses or actors nowadays. I think it was, like, last year I saw Kevin Spacey played in Richard III in his Tour of the Country, and his cast was colorblind, like, his cousin was a play by a black guy, and, you know, he was like a king. It was awesome. But in film, I think that it's, you know, there's not that many. I don't know. You do see, like, a sparsity of, you know, black actresses. But that's I think that's changing now. I think that right now is, like, a great time to be an African-American actress. Like, Kerry Washington, she's got her own show. She's like the first black woman to have a show since Diane Carroll in 1970, and that's amazing. It's like a old feeling being broken all over again. So I think that's changing, you know. I look forward to
that. That is true. I never thought about it that way. There haven't been it. Well, I mean, Nell Carter had her own show, but.
So I think that there's like
right.
a
there,
lot
there's
of.
Not many, there's not many black women who are leads in shows.
Yeah, there's not. And I think that's changing. I think that's awesome, too.
Well, tell us about something. Well, do me a favor and tell the people how they can find you, what they can find you at on Twitter, and what can we look forward to seeing you doing coming up?
Well, right now I'm just like, I want to do some work that's a little bit different from my other work that can be seen. I don't know. I really don't know what's in the works. Right now I'm still studying a lot and just working on my craft. Like working on becoming like a better actress, and you know, you never know what might come your way. So,
okay, and give make sure they can find you on Twitter and Facebook and all the good places.
You can follow me on Facebook. My Facebook is Raquel Earl, and my Twitter is at I'm Kels, I'mKelz. My Twitter, you can find me there and talk to me. I mean, I just really kind of chit-chat, you know. I'm not really, like, talking about so much of my career on there, actually. You end up, like, just jumping on, like, trending topics and stuff. But definitely reach out to me if you want to holler at me.
Well. Let me tell you what, we want to make sure we go to your Facebook and on your Twitter, and we'll make sure we like your page.
Thank you.
No problem.
You know, hopefully I'll like be coming with my own website really soon and having more work out there. So just keep looking for me.
We will do that, and hopefully we can have this interview again, darling. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
All right, thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the beautiful Miss Raquel Earl. She came on the show to join us. The number is 347-989-8310. Like, call in. Let us know what you're thinking, like, how you feeling. Let's see if we can get to some of these phone calls, and let's see what the people are thinking right now. Who is on the line? Who's on the line? You know, I'm looking for, where is Jason Black? I had to get his opinion. Maybe I lost him. I think I lost Jason. Well, I got to bring in Maisha. She's going to help me through the rest of the show. What's up, Maisha?
Hey, I'm right here.
Good deal. I want you to help me throughout, like, the rest of the show. I need, like, somebody.
I'm right here. Yep.
Somebody like you to, like, help. All right, people, I'm through being an asshole. It's time to get into the question. And this has something to do with the topic of the show. Now, the topic of the show, we were asking, what is it that black men can do to better their communities, their families, and all of that stuff, to be more proactive? And that's why we had the young man, the mall cop, on the show. That's why I'm on the show. That's why you ladies are on the show. We're going to talk about what can be done. Now, I'll ask you before we go to the phone calls.
All right.
What do you think black men can do to become, to help the community?
Basically, what I think that black men can do is be aware of when the bottom is starting to fall out and check certain behaviors. Doesn't matter if it's your kid, someone else's kid. I think all the men need to get together and make sure that the kids are behaving properly and the kids are well taken care of. Even if you have to help another brother out, help them out,
You know, my dad used to take cousins of mine on trips and things like that if their parents couldn't afford to do that. So I think it's really important to, if you're able to expose your children to certain things that will better them, then if you can pick up another person's kid and expose them to, that would help out a lot.
I like that. I like that. Now, one of the things I see as a black man is that we don't have much spine. And I say this not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we don't stand up unless it's like something that we see a group of people doing. Like if it's cool to stand up for something, then we'll do it.
All right.
We won't really step up these days and be the first one to do it. We want to do it after it done got cool, after a movement has started. We don't want to step up and be the one who says, you know what? I want to do this even when it's not cool. I want to say this even though I know I'm going to get flack.
Well, I think a lot of that comes from your surroundings. I'm from Dallas, so we do things a totally different way. But what I've noticed here in Chicago, it gets to the point of where you're pressured into rolling with the punches.
Yep.
Because either you're either going to join them or you're going to get hurt. So I think a lot of it is being scared. It's being intimidated. Back in the 90s, you know, it wasn't really cool to be smart. You know, I'm a smart person. I got a lot of flack for that. You know, I ended up being pretty cool in high school and things like that, but I went to a magnet. I didn't go to public school. So that made the difference. Everyone was smart, so it was okay to be smart. But if you're saturated in a particular radius that you can't get out of, it makes it a little bit more difficult, especially if you don't have adults telling you and showing you, actually not just telling you, but showing you that this is the way to go about doing things. So, I mean, we have a big hole to dig out of regarding that.
Agreed.
Just not a black man issue. I mean, I've commented on your videos and things like that, you know, the shoddy low, the baby mama thing. And it's just like, okay, if I know a guy has past two children and those two children were with one woman that he was married to, it's kind of a red flag and I might not want to put myself or my child, future child, in a situation to where they're going to go without. So it's nice. Actually both of us. It can't just be it's the men, it's the black women, black women. It's really both of us. And if we can't work together, then what we're seeing right now is going to continue.
I like Maisha. Maisha speaks to calm a situation down. And let me bring in another calm voice in to join Maisha and myself. Let me bring in my man, Mr. Jason Black. Jason, what's happening?
Black first, brother.
Amen. I've been quoting you all tonight through the show before you came on.
I was listening. I've been here most of the time here. Where do I start?
Start off with the Django Unchained Part 2.
Mr. Chris Dornan, rest in peace, brother. Go with God. You know, brother, as you can probably imagine, my only real regret is that he didn't have 10 friends. That's the only thing I really regret here. We as a people are cowards. We as a people are walk-behinders. We as a people deserve every bit of subservience and enslavement and oppression that we have. And what we just witnessed over the last 7 days is your evidence that we deserve it. Plain and simple, you can't argue against it. We don't deserve to be free. And that's why we're not.
Say
we
it.
Don't deserve it.
Say it.
You don't have it
Say
because
it.
You aren't worthy of it, and you just demonstrated it. I want to ask you a question here, brother, and I want to ask everybody out there around the world listening to this tonight. When you have a situation like Trayvon Martin, when you have a situation like Jordan Russell Davis, when you have a situation like Troy Davis, when you have a situation like Abner Louima, Amadou Diallo, Oscar Grant, Sean Bell, look how long that damn list got. Look how quickly that got so long, just that quickly there. When you have a list like that, understand something. Could you imagine a situation under which the Palestinians would simply sit there, watch that happen, and go home?
sing some songs, say some prayers, do a couple of marches, and go home. Could you imagine?
Do you know black folks should have been hard as hell to contain in the United States when Emmett Till's situation went down? Do you know that people in Texas and black folks should have been hard as hell to maintain and hold down after the damn James Byrd in Texas?
And I spoke to his daughter. I spoke to her several times. And a very bright girl, by the way. But understand something. We as a people have demonstrated that we don't deserve to be free because of things like that.
Thank you.
When other people will sit up here and show you, they will take to the streets and they will start burning your stuff and taking his, and your people will sit up here day after day. We have taught people that it's okay to disrespect us. We have taught people that our lives are worthless. We taught them that. I had someone sitting up here today and they were telling me that, you know, we worship these images of a white Jesus. Well, now that's got nothing to do with a white Jesus. We're not bowing down to a white God. We're bowing down to an Arab God. Take a look at the nation of Islam. We'll bow down to an Asian one. It doesn't matter. We're just, when you're just scared, you'll bow down to whoever walked in the room. And the simple fact of the matter is the white folk got to us first. That's all that means. But we bow down to the Asians. You have plenty of Asian slave traders. And you bow down to them too. And look at them in Africa. You're taking on their religion. You got black Africans talking about we're Arabs. Sound ridiculous? Well, does it sound any less ridiculous than black women over here in the United States talking about I'm mixed? Doesn't sound familiar? Doesn't this pathology sound exactly identical? And that's exactly it right there. So, no, brother, I mean, it's shameful. It's disgraceful. This man is ex-military. He went to the police force. And it does not – let me just settle this right quick. Put this to bed. It does not matter what his rationale was. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he was a disgruntled former employee. That's irrelevant. Nobody sits up here and asks about the motivations of the founders. Was it a scam? Was it a take? Were they really upset about taxes? Was it religion? Was it a land grab? Were they deists? Nobody even cares. You don't ask that. What you look at are the results. And then you decide for yourself what is your motivation. But the results are all. We don't sit up here and do a litmus test or a sign here on the dotted line. Is this your reason for doing this? If they're doing the right thing, they're doing the right thing. That's just the only thing that matters. Plain and simple.
Jason, that's why when I first came out, I said, I was honestly afraid, but when I saw him, I said, because nobody else was doing it. I just seen it, and I said, like you, I don't know why, but I'm glad to see a black man do something other than attack black people and do something to have the establishment afraid. Because when's the last time a black man stood up like that? Probably since Malcolm X.
The closest thing I can think of was Khalid Muhammad.
Yes.
That's the last real thing I could think of like that. And all I can say, I asked you a question before. Could you imagine a Chris Dornan and a John Allen Muhammad together? I mean,
wow.
Could you imagine if you had something like that going on? If this one man had them pinned down and the whole damn police department and law enforcement agencies going nuts to the point that they've now apparently officially repealed Posse Comitatus. Since now it appears you've officially done that with your first black president, the black face of white imperialism and tyranny. Since now you've officially repealed Posse Comitatus, you didn't do it for the Confederacy, you didn't do it for the Italian mobs, you didn't do it for the Irish mobs, you didn't do it for the Hispanic hordes coming across the borders from Mexico, but one black man and we can repeal 160 years of history and law and constitution and everything else, bam, gone in 1 week. And you still don't think that you are public enemy number one, but I can get you to quote Desperate Housewives all day. And I can get you to quote The Real Housewives of Atlanta all day. And I can get you to watch VH1 and TV1 and every damn thing else all day. And you don't see yourself as public enemy number one. You see yourself as mixed. How ridiculous that garbage is. And this is what we have today. Black people today see this and are no more motivated. Well, they're not angry about that. They're not upset about that, right? They're stepping on a nigga's shoes out standing in line 50 of them abreast at Foot Locker waiting for the latest Jordans. Now, that will get them angry. That will start a riot. That will start a damn fight. You sit up here and got Darren Long talking about what's happening at the mall there in Atlanta. These are a bunch of militant niggas standing around. But isn't it amazing? He just showed you right there. By the way, if you don't move, these niggas will go home too. By the way, even with the ear ones, you stand there long enough, even these niggas will get up and go home. Black people are not willing to die for nothing. Period. End of discussion. There's nothing we're willing to die for, not even for the stuff we're trying to steal. They're not even willing to die for that. They'll pick it up. The man shows up, he'll drop the TV and run. He's not even willing to see it through. It's not even like the Italian mafia where they're at least willing to shoot it out so they get what they want. They won't even do that. Now, talking about people who are not willing to die for what they want, you mentioned earlier about 300. You mentioned earlier about Braveheart. And you think about that. You think about that for a moment. Now, the Battle of Thermopylae, which was what the movie 300 was about.
Yes.
This is Frank Miller and Zack Snyder turning a loss
into a victory.
Leonidas and the Spartans lost the Battle of Thermopylae. They lost it. And yet, Leonidas and the movie theater, they were annihilated. And yet, they turned that. They turned that into a win. You went to go see this movie not because you knew the Spartans were going to win, but because you walked in the movie theater knowing they were going to lose, and now you got Spartan tattoos on your abdomen and Spartan tattoos on your arms, and the college football players, they want to become the Spartans. They turned a loss into a win. And then at the end of the movie, if you'll notice, that his last remaining soldier sitting there telling them that, and as we stand here on this piece of dirt called Plataea, now, understand, they didn't go into what happens next at Plataea, because Plataea was where the Spartans won. But wait, they didn't even show you that. They didn't even show you, by the way, the Spartans do win at Plataea. They sit up here and focus you on there's something worth dying for. Don't think for a damn second that's not programming. Take a look at Braveheart. Now, that was financed by Mel Gibson, and you talk about how white folks feel about that thing. Mel Gibson caught hell from the Brits for that movie. Mel Gibson caught hell from the Brits. You can look it up online. They were calling him anti-Brit, that he was anti-Anglo-Saxon. He caught hell for that movie because he was like, he went into depth with it saying, you know what, for the Irish and for the Scottish, whoever the hell it was, I forget off the top of my head, I'm brain fried because I'm still suffering with 101 fever. Sorry. I should probably calm down when you have 101 fever, but I just can't.
Yeah,
I'm going to toss some water in your face.
But, you know, when you have a situation like this, where these men are able to inspire their people through losses. And he didn't care what the Brits or anybody else had to say. They inspired their people through losses. Niggas can't get through a win. They can't get inspired through a win. And this man is saying, wait a minute, we'll use our losses to inspire you. That they teach their children the value of martyrs.
That's why
I will dare you to go into any African language, any African tribe, any African civilization. And I'm just saying this off the top of my head. Anybody can prove me wrong. Is there an African word for martyr? Because when you have people who are so devoid of a concept, this must mean you don't have a word for it. When you don't have a concept, you must not have a word because you don't know the meaning of it. A martyr is somebody who says there's something more important than my life. And so far, I ain't met a damn African in America or an African in Africa or an African on the moon who felt there was something more important than his life. Haven't been able to find it yet. 300, my ass! You couldn't get three, much less 300.
Oh, no, we couldn't.
Tommy?
Yeah, you're still here. I was going to try to let you jump in, and I'll let Jason keep going. Something you wanted to ask?
Yeah. I had to listen to Mr. Black for a moment. What I'm seeing, and this is, you know, from the Dorna situation like he was talking about and the Braveheart and everything, the problem, I think the number one problem, we got like three problems. The number one problem is that we have an issue about fearing money. I think a lot of black people fear losing their job, losing their apartment, things like that. The second thing is the cohesion. When you have people who are willing to go, you know what, I own a house, okay? We all going to have to pile up in here, but we're going to go march on this because this is a bunch of bull. Let's go do it. If you lose your job, don't worry, I got you. We aren't self-sufficient enough to be able to go, this is not right. I don't care if I lose this job. You know, we got this over here, and we can all work together. So that's the cohesion part. And the third thing is, there's just no spirit. We have so many people just doing what they feel makes them feel better. We're very we consume a lot, whether it be clothing or brands, or pretty much label whores. You know, so we're out here and we're falling into keeping up with the Joneses instead of keeping up with ourselves. And, you know, while, you know, when I grew up, yes, people were making fun of, you know, the Mexican people that moved into the neighborhood in the early 90s. They had 8, 9, 10 people in a two-bedroom house. But the thing is, everybody came out of that house with their own house and their own car, or they could actively go out to stay in a household and march on something. We're not organized, and that's the problem. How do
disagree.
What?
We are organized, and you've already stated what we're organized for. We're organized to be consumers. That's what we're organized
okay.
for. Now, you just spoke about the Mexicans now. I think you said you're in Dallas, and I used to
no,
live in Dallas.
My phone number
okay.
is in Dallas, but I'm in
sorry.
Chicago.
I used to live, well, speaking of plenty of Mexicans in Dallas. I just sat there and watched them when the major influx started happening in the late 80s, early 90s. And
right.
let me tell you, the reason why they've made so much more strides than we have is because those people came here to build an economy. They didn't come here to buy a pair of damn shoes. They didn't
correct.
Come here to buy an HDTV. They came here with a mission and a purpose to build a society and a civilization and an economy. You show, I mean, this is that. This, now, let me explain to you why that distinction is important. That distinction is important because when I say I'm going to build an economy, that means that there are certain things I have to do. There has to be cohesion. There has to be groupthink, and there has to be group economics. Now, you have, if you witnessed, and I know Tommy has what he has, and for those of us who've lived in Texas and whatnot and lived in the West Coast of California, you will witness Hispanics with the same pathology and the same methodology as Asians. What do I mean by that? Asians will drive 3 hours to go do business with another Asian. They will not
right.
do business at your store. He's not going to do business with you. If there is an Asian within reach for him to do business with, he is not going to do business with you. And the Hispanics are the exact same way. If it's a Mexican business, then I will be damned. You are not going to see a family of Mexicans sitting at the Asian store or the black restaurant. It's I don't care how good the damn food is. They're not going
hey,
to
yeah,
be
have
there.
Have you ever
why?
Thought about that? Think about that, Jason, before you continue. Think about that. We all know that there are Jamaican restaurants all over the place. We all know that there are Chinese restaurants.
Right.
Yet you go to the Chinese place, you see a bunch of black folks. But you've never seen a bunch of Chinese people at a Jamaican place, ever.
No matter how good the food is, no matter how cheap the prices are. Why? Because this is a principle, because they have a code as a people, and you do not break the code. Could you imagine being a Latina going into the soul food, walking past a Mexican restaurant to go eat at the soul food restaurant? I don't give a damn how good the food is. Could you imagine her doing that? Could you imagine Jennifer Lopez walking past El Chico's to go eat at the Jamal's soul food restaurant? Not going to happen. Could you imagine Eva Longoria doing it? No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because her people will put her in check. You talk about these people.
You know what's funny?
That
is true. For as Americanized as I as I am, if I see Panamanian food anywhere, I'm going in there first.
Yeah, but here's the
it's
thing.
It's like
and
I don't even think about it. I don't even think about it. I just go in it.
But they're doing it under threat of law. Because understand something. Remember Jessica Alba, who tried that I'm mixed thing. I don't really identify. I'm not really Mexican thing. Remember she tried that? Her people jumped on her the very next day, and that is the last time that she ever cooked her mouth to say that she was not Latina. From then on in, she did everything she could to let you know she was Latina. Did several videos talking about she teaches her children Spanish. Her people put her in check immediately. There was no way, you know, you do you, me do me. Damn that. You are
right.
with La Raza or you're out of here. And that's just the bottom line. And you know what will happen in East L.A.? If you try that walk past the Mexican restaurant to eat the black restaurant thing, you're going to catch a brick upside your head is what's going to happen. Your people are going to make it known to you, this is unacceptable. You are off code. They're
have you noticed how nobody is supporting me on that same thing about you got all these black actresses and models when they claim they mix? I say as soon as they say they mix, stop letting them be black. And when they claim they mix, then you let their mixed friends support them. You let their their mixed entourage support them. You let their mixed people buy their CD. You let their mixed people do whatever. As soon as they tell you they mix, then stop letting them turn around and tell you you need to support black actresses.
Well, but that's because those people don't hate themselves. This is not a matter of a lack of something. There is something in black society. We have the presence of an emotion. It's hate. It's disdain. We don't value what we are until other people value it. Let's just be straight about it. We didn't value rap music until white folk did. It wasn't until white folk and Jerry Heller showed up with NWA that we really valued rap music. Them guys were just Curtis Blow and Kool Herc, and the rest of them were just a bunch of underground fellas in New York, and that was it. That was all they were doing. They loved what they were doing, but we as a people did not value it until the white folks showed up, and we never did. Run DMC and Walk This Way. If it hadn't been for that, black people would never have valued it. If white folk didn't put their stamp and their imprimatur on it and say, we approve, we never would have valued that, and we don't.
Amen.
We despise everything about us. We despise our hair. The women do. And I want to make a point here. I want to make a point right quick about Tommy's phone number. Because Tommy said he wondered how people got the number. Tommy, I'll tell you how they got the number. I worked in telecommunications, as you know, for the largest companies in this country. I'll tell you exactly how they got their number. A call center. Now, you got a hood rat on YouTube who don't like you, and I guarantee she's got a friend who works at a call center somewhere for one of those companies, and all they got to do is look your information up.
Yeah, you
and
can do
from
that.
From there, it's over. From there, it's just that simple. I guarantee you, you're in Atlanta. I know when I worked for AT&T, we got, what, 4 or 5 of them there. So it wasn't very hard to find.
I worked back home, and I could get your information if I wanted to.
It wasn't very hard to get it. Now, the real shame of it, of course, is why in the hell would you waste your time doing something like that because the man's still here. Sister, I got to make a issue, though, with something that you said earlier, however. When you said it's the men and the women, I got to disagree with you there because, unfortunately, among black women, we have about a 46% single mother rate. You do not have a 46% black male single father rate. So if it was the men and women equally, we would have equal numbers. But among black men, it's about 10%. So what we got is, but 50% of the women are passing around 10% of the men. That's what's happening.
Okay. The point I was trying to make is the women being responsible for understanding the repercussions of laying up with a man they are not married to and reproducing. That does fall on the woman. We do have the choice, unless we are raped, to say, you know what, this is not how I want to be. I don't want to have a child right now. You know, this guy's really fine. He's sexy. He's everything. You know, no condom, no birth control, no nothing. Can't do it. But we have a really high percentage of women out here having this unprotected sex and having these children and things like that, and then you fall into the thing of, he ain't no good, he's baby daddy, all this. And you should never hear a woman refer to the father of her child as a baby daddy. We have an epidemic of children not being born out of love. They're being born for other things other than love and to nurture and things of that aspect. So I'm putting something on the women. I have no children. I'm 34. I have no children. Not one scare. Not one, I'm not sure. Not anything. It is not that hard to go out, live your life, and be responsible. It is not hard. That stuff is free right out there.
Let me ask you this, Maisha, before you finish. Let me ask you this before you finish. Why isn't this simple thing right there, because I think that's what Jason and I are talking about, why isn't that thing even taught amongst women to girls? By the women, because it's a women's job to really teach the women how to be women. Yet, when I say it.
But if they're not born of women, how do they know?
Yeah, but
right,
but
I'm saying we have
standard.
We have to get to a point, even if we didn't have it, we got to get to a point where somebody knows how to teach it, because there was a time we didn't have electricity. Didn't mean we didn't figure out how to get it.
But women don't hold each other to a standard anymore.
That's what I meant.
Women hold each other to a standard for hairstyles. They hold each other to a standard for shoe styles. They hold each other to a standard for dress styles. They hold each other for standards about who they let in their vaginas and how.
Why is it that the simple concept of It's not a 50-50 proposition. As long as we keep telling women it's a 50-50 proposition, that's like telling a store owner that it's a 50-50 proposition between him and his patrons to make sure he makes money or to make sure that his store stays safe. No, it isn't. It's his job to make sure that he keeps surveillance. It's his job to make sure that he advertises. It's his job to make sure that people know about his sales. It's not a 50-50 proposition because he is the major owner and the benefactor of that business. Women are the major owners and benefactors of what goes in and out of their bodies. So why is it just right? So why is it that we as a whole culture, the women don't speak it? Because it will make my job a lot easier. See, when I say it, I get pushed and called. Or when Jason says it, we get called, misogynist is a cute word they like putting on us.
That word is so played out right now. A lot of people don't even know what that actually means when they say it.
Yeah, it's a lot of women watch motherfucking TV and heard it and they just start rehashing it. You're right. There's a lot of shit that people are saying that is just rehashed and they're using it in the wrong context. But help Jason and I out. Why aren't there more women who spoke like how you just spoke, which is said, we have responsibility, and then turn around and say, and it's not that hard?
The problem is that those females can't hear it. They are surrounded by other women, well, female. I'm going to call them females. I'm not going to call them women. I'm going to call them females / breeders. They're surrounded by this group of people who basically it's like this. Say, for instance, I don't even really have a good analogy for it. Basically, okay, look, if you're surrounded by a lot of people who glorify what you're doing, okay, like you could start out as a normal, wholesome girl, and we've seen a lot of this dynamic on World Side Hip Hop where the chicks are twerking and the baby learning how to twerk and all that. It's taught that this is okay. There's really no shame in getting pregnant at 14, 13, because that seems to be the norm where you're at. And another big deal is the problem. It's the people like me. Now I get out there and I'm like, hey, I might get busted in my face right now, but I got to tell her this is wrong. I'm one of the few people that will go up and just say, girl, look. You know, let me pull you to the side, please. But there isn't a lot of that happening. My family dynamic isn't in the majority right now. It's in the minority, unfortunately, and it's sad. And I can only touch as many people as I can, but that's only a handful. It's not in abundance. It's not in the thousands right now. You know, I have people that are up there, and they're just like, girl, I ain't got time for them hood rats. And it's like, no. The reason why you're having a difficult time is because they're having a difficult time. If they're having a difficult time, we're going to have a difficult time, so we need to help them out. And if you have one or two or three or four, we need to help them, you know, at least be able to understand no more right now. But it's a very emotional thing because when you have people like that, they're very emotional. They're used to being attacked, and they have their guard up. And that's where you get all this aggressiveness from the females and all these things like that. They constantly have to answer for something someone's telling them they're doing is bad. Granted, yeah, someone might say, hey, you know, you got knocked up, you know, you're a slut, whatever. But the thing is, it's like they're from this dynamic that a lot of us who have it together just don't understand. And if we could just get some people who were in their predicament that said, hey, you know what, girl, look, I was over here, shoddy, baby mama, all that stuff, and I got out of that. You know, I'm off the welfare. I got this job over here. I'm a nursing student, something, but we're just not coming up with programs to get them to where they can understand there's something beyond just being out there and just really doing whatever. That's the problem. We just have so many females out there doing whatever. And it's like, where do you start? It's really not all the men. It's really not all them. You know?
The reason I wanted to do this show is because there's a certain amount of power that men do have, and we don't use it. We have been taught, because we were raised by women, to believe that, honestly, we are a powerless people. Black men believe they have no power. That's why no matter how rich they get and how much money they get, economically, they haven't realized they have power, and they'll still end up knocking up a hood rat.
because they feel that's the only power that we actually have is the ability to our swag, which is just another word for sex appeal. We don't actually feel we have anything to offer to anyone else. And that's, we have no accomplishments. We haven't built an economy. We haven't built any institutions. We haven't built any organizations. Nobody is telling us we should. No one is insulting us or impugning our character because we haven't. Swag it is. I mean, that's at least that's something that you have to get a hold of.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, the media is very imbalanced nowadays. And that really is a driving force in how people view themselves. You know, like I said, I was born like in the 70s and, you know, all through the 80s. I saw the shifts. I saw the change. You know, you could have, you know, a show where it's like, okay, oh, what was it? What was the one really big? Boys in the Hood. I remember seeing Boys in the Hood, but then again, there was like Boomerang too. You know, there was like this or that. There was an
Do you know people don't even
one had far more influence.
Here's this. Do you know that people don't even understand that in the 80s we had diversity amongst blacks? We had blacks doing rock and roll. We had blacks doing rap. We had blacks doing R&B.
Yeah, I love Living Color. They were like my favorite group.
Yep. We had blacks
Who's
doing
Nickin?
More than one thing. Like you said,
Get
we could go
here.
Watch Boys in the Hood. Then we could go back and watch Distinguished Gentlemen. We could go and watch Boomerang. We'd had an all-black cast of black people. The people don't even give Eddie Murphy the credit he deserves. He had an all-black cast with an all-black business, hiring all-black people. We had black people doing this to that. There's not been another movie like Boomerang. There hasn't been.
Yeah, but we reached a tipping point. We reached a tipping point where about you went from about 40% of your children being born out of wedlock to 50%. And once you hit that tipping point, the culture and the values of your community completely changed at that point. We went from going for the highest common denominator to the lowest. And that's exactly what happened. You don't have to be intelligent anymore. You don't have to strive for anything anymore. The lowest common denominator is it, and your entertainment simply shows just how dumb you've become. And let's just be honest about it, because you can't fix a problem if you cannot face a problem. Black people are the dumbest people in society. And I mean that just the way it sounds, however it offends anybody. We are the least intelligent people in society. If you put this down on a sheet of paper and say 2 + 2, you're going to have more failures on our side than anywhere else. Don't like it? Forget you. It's just simply the truth. And people who do not have respect for basic knowledge, you can hang up advanced things like building industries and societies. You can hang that up. If you can't do 2 + 2, forget the rest of it.
Yeah.
Shamika and Shantikia and Shandalika are the dumbass hoes. That's why they got knocked up with kids. The problem is that 70% of black females qualify as dumbass hoes, but it kind of works out because 70% of black males qualify as dusty dumbass niggas. So it pretty much evens out, and Dusty and Dumb keep finding each other. Housing projects explode. Sneaker sales are out of this world. The colleges are empty. The jails are full. It's pretty easy to figure out how you got here. And the real problem with that 50-50 thing, the reason why it does not work is because it refutes the natural order. A woman does not have 50% control of her womb. She's gotten 80-90% control of it, and that's the way it is supposed to be, because she is hardwired for nurturing. And this is why a woman saying I'm head of household is treason against the society, because the man is not 50% head of household. He's more like 80-90%. Why? Because when something goes bump in the night, it is the man's job to get up and deal with that. When people are shooting at your children and standing their ground, your men are supposed to be standing theirs. That's not the woman's responsibility. It's not a man's responsibility to tell a woman not to let a penis in her vagina. And it's not the woman's responsibility to say, hey, them white folk are running over our children. That's the men's job. And a woman does treason when she says, you stand back, baby. We will go get them. No, we ain't going nowhere. It's the man's responsibility. That's what we are doing. And you are sabotaging our people, saying that you get to walk out there too. This is our job. You do your job with the children. I do my job beating their asses. That's
Please do.
And I want to say
right now,
that
all,
is
we got Chris, all we got right now is Chris.
Correct.
All we got
that
right now
is
Chris. The only black man doing that job right now is Chris Dornan. Oh, wait a minute. He's not doing it anymore.
Thank you. That's why, and people got mad at me, and when they asked him, why did I support the man, and blah, 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 I said, because he's the only black man that I've seen today that is jumping up and saying, fuck it, and actually attacking somebody else other than his own damn people. Now, I got to say this before we answer some phone calls and talk with us live. For the people who don't remember, Raquel was supposed to be on the show the same night that the other nut was on the show, the chick from Memphis. The booty dancer with the child who don't want her, yeah, who didn't want her child to hang with the nigga that she laid up with and had the baby with because he wasn't worthy of being a father, but he was worthy enough to lay down and actually become a father, but he wasn't worthy enough to be a father. Well, once he didn't want me, then yeah, you know, the 4.0 scholar online. Anyway, the girl didn't come on the show that time because she felt like she shouldn't have been pushed back a couple of minutes. So she came on this show. She was on, let's call it what it was. It was very boring. Now, I know one of my sponsors is the one who sent her on here, but after I've done my job and put the people on here, I can say what the fuck I want. That's the deal. Now, I got to say something that really is pervasive in the black community with black women. This woman actually, and I'm reading it right now, she sent me a text. Because she's in California, and sometimes you get the time differences wrong. And I told her that she was supposed to be on an hour before she was actually supposed to come on. But I also told her to call in early so she can hear what's going on before I bring her on. She didn't call in early. As a matter of fact, she was busy, and she sent me a text that said, hey, have you tried to call me? My other phone is off. And that was while I was interviewing the man. And I said, no, actually, I gave you the wrong time. It's supposed to be at this time, at 11:30 my time, not 10:30. She sent me a message behind it, and I didn't see it. And if I saw that before, I would not have done the interview. I would not have, because this is just the type of nigga I am. She sent me a message after that said, no big deal, except for I'm rushing home from the grocery store to be on time, shaking my head. I could have gotten everything I needed without the stress of trying to be on time. Then she sent a second message. It's rude, whether intended or not. First off, motherfucker, learn how to spell weather. W-E-A-T-H-E-R is what goes on outside in your environment. Second off, that's my problem with black women. Now, why do you think she felt the need to send that motherfucking message? You as a black woman can help me. Why do you think this woman felt the need to say some shit like that, but every time she get around a motherfucking audience, she's stuttering, liking, and can't even finish a fucking sentence?
Well, I wouldn't have sent you anything like that, per se. Like, I wouldn't have done that. I would have been like, great, I can go over here and do X, Y, Z. I got an extra hour. That would have been awesome. I would have took a bath, but whatever. I think that maybe she was supposed to be on a previous show, correct?
Yeah, and she backed out.
And she backed out. So pretty much what you did accidentally 86'd her backing out, so she should have just been fine with it. I don't understand why she did it. It was rude on her part because you're getting to be on a pretty – this show is great. I listen to it all the time. I've always wanted to call in, but I don't know why she would do that.
But then continue to come on the show after you sent – here's my problem, though. If I had seen that text before she was supposed to come on, I'd have never brought her on. Of course, I'm doing a show, so I can't look down at my text. I didn't see it until she just sent me a text that said, thank you for interviewing me. Well, of course, when that text came up, the previous one came up.
You know what, Tommy?
And I thought to myself, had I seen that crap, I'd have never called you.
Honestly, I called in on a whim. Okay, this is just, we're just going to compare. I called in on a whim. You know, you were talking to the cop in Atlanta, or the security guy in Atlanta, and I realized it was the wrong conversation, and I held. So me as a patient person who's willing to wait for what I want, I can't identify with why she did that. Unfortunately, I can't. But the only thing
I can't understand is that, to me, that's where entitlement.
And maybe you know who I am. That's what that was.
I said in the last show, I said it's that damn light skin privilege is what I said. And that's what I called it in the last show.
Did you not
and then for her to
said,
do it again.
Do you know who I am? That is what that was.
Nobody knows who this bitch is. Let's call it what it is.
Well, she feels that she is important, just like somebody else, and I won't say any names, who's a celebrity. Okay? She's a celebrity. She got about 3 minutes on a show that a lot of us black women watch, but she's a celebrity. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Do you know
when
who I am?
When I ask you what do you got
I'm
coming
entitled.
Up and you say I'm going to school, is every black woman in school?
Apparently. All the strippers are, obviously.
Yeah. And the other person that you were supposed to interview, I think it's Miss Sweet. Yeah, I did take the time to check out her website, and it's not all together. It's pretty. I mean, she's got her little pics up there, but if the links and all that, there's just everything's missing. It's
no, like, yeah, they don't go anywhere. She doesn't have it up. These
like,
motherfuckers act like it costs $9 billion. They act like it take $9 billion to put a website up. Really,
that's
amazing.
The one thing that really
doesn't know how to build a website. Amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go to 1&1.com, bitch.
But I did have a problem with her wearing that afro in that video. That really pissed me off.
And she claimed that's her real hair.
Well, now all the afro wearers look like hoes.
We don't do that. Now, some of us do. But we keep that under wraps. As, what's this? Tariq Nasheedy calls us. He calls those kind the herbal tea chicks.
Explain.
But the problem, Tariq Nasheed.
Why he called them the herbal tea chicks.
Well, he just talks about the girls who are all natural, who are end up being dick freaks and stuff like that, you know.
Erykah
Badu would be an herbal tea chick.
She's
a little wild. She's a little out there. You know, her last video.
Erykah Badu
off,
and the other one, Lauryn Hill. Miss Pro Black, and next thing you know, every dick she'd hopping on it.
Well,
I think that pro black shit is a cop out sometimes. It almost reminds me of religious men. Like, they'll become religious because they can't get no pussy. I've realized a lot of women are pro black because they can't afford a perm or just. It's not that they really want to be pro black. It's because either they ugly as fuck, so it's just easy to do. Because when you look at what happened with your girl, Miss Queen Latifah, she railed against people with perms and weave. What happened when they gave her some fucking money? Got a weave.
Well, I mean, but that's the resort of Avenue Rant articulated this beautifully when he was talking about how most of these boho chicks, which is what she's referring to about the herbal tea thing, it's that boho thing, and they're going natural because these are girls who didn't have sex appeal. I mean, they couldn't do the Beyonce thing. They couldn't do the Rihanna thing. So, I mean, they just got skunked at that. So these are basically girls without swag. So that's why they're wearing the jeans and doing their hair up like that and looking all spooky and talking about Africanism and whatever the hell else is. They don't have female swag, so this is their thing, and they get to say, well, this is my thing, and they get to define it however they want to and tell you it's sexy. But then when you get to know them, which takes about 2.3 seconds, you realize, hell, you're as big a hoe as Rihanna is. What you talking about? This is something classy over here.
And that's the funny part about it. But I tell you,
the best part about it is that we're all supposed to look this way anyway. Period.
Well, you know, I just hate it when people are wearing our uniform because as a black man, when I see another – look, my skin is my uniform. And when I see a black man with his pants sagging with this homo thug thing, and when I see a black man with gold teeth in his mouth looking a damn fool, nigga, you wearing my uniform. And you don't just wear my uniform any old kind of way. When I worked for Verizon, when I worked for Comcast, when I worked for AT&T, you had to wear it when they said that wherever you went, if you were wearing one of the company outfits, you had to be a certain way. And we had managers, like if they saw you at the restaurant or something, they would look at your shoes.
I mean, you had to look a certain way because you represented them. And as a black female, if you're walking around with in this day and age, if you want the weave, that's fine. The hair-headed hooligans, that's their uniform. Wear your uniform with pride. If you want to sit with your gold hair, you wear that like that. But if you're wearing locks, if you're wearing cornrows, if you're wearing an afro, you are wearing the African woman's uniform. And you don't bring sluts and whores in here wearing the African woman's uniform. You don't do that. You're out of line. You're out of place. Somebody hand me a brick.
I'm with you.
Well,
and that's my
most
problem.
Most of them aren't going to do natural hair anyways because their mindset is to do what's easy, which is why they're where they're at right now.
Well, that's why I think it should be that there should be less motherfuckers with the wild hair that's acting a fool. I'm with Jason on that. When I see the one thing I saw about Christopher Dorner is I saw this is a black man in a black uniform that got white people scared. Why the fuck would every black man not gravitate towards somebody like that?
Because it's scared.
Because we got niggas that's out there like, ain't no white folks scared of Lil Wayne. White folks ain't scared of damn Kanye West. All they got to do is put a white bitch on his arm and he'll calm down.
Ice Cube was on the Today Show with the two half-breeds and whatnot. And they were talking about, you know, we thought you were supposed to be this gangster. And you're like, you're a married man, been married for 20 years and whatnot. And I'm like, don't you know, dude, they just punked you on national television. I mean, when you're sitting here on, you were supposed to be, when you were growing up, you was just the hardest thing in the world. I never had dinner with the president. And now you're on the Today Show with Meredith and whatever the hell her name is, making out with the two suburban housewives here. I mean, this is what has become of Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson, this is what you are. And if that doesn't tell you that, nigga, they wasn't scared of you from day one. They weren't worried. You weren't a threat. I mean, some of the stuff he was saying at the beginning was, but if this doesn't show you how you deteriorated, nothing else will. There's nothing scary about Lil Wayne. He's not preaching revolution.
Hey, let me tell you something. And I know this is going to hurt a lot of people, and if it gets to his ears, I know it's going to hurt him too. But fuck him. This the truth is the truth. O'Shea Jackson didn't even hang out with the 5%ers until he needed somebody to hang out with after he left NWA.
Nope.
Call it what it is. He was never one of them. Because as soon as he got some more niggas to hang out with him to go back to that hard shit, he went back to the streets. He stopped teaching and preaching, remember? He stopped talking about 5%ers. He went right back to being the thug in the streets. And then as soon as they paid him some money to be, honey, are we there yet? He did that. So what is this telling you people about most black people? Most black people aren't natural because they want to be. They're not pro-black because they want to be. They most of the time are doing these things because that's all they can do. Most of us are only doing what we do because that's all we can do.
I'm down with Lil Jon. Ain't got to pretend. Crunk juice nigga run the club that you in. Now, this is after all that other stuff you were saying, dude. Next thing you know, you are with the king of coons. Now, he deserves that crown on his head. You with the king of coons sitting up here talking about Crunk Juice from the club that you in. I mean, seriously, dude, now you're on the sit with Meredith and Biera. These niggas are doing whatever
like
they got to get paid, period.
It's just like the situation with Cat Williams. And what's his name? He had the big clock. Oh, darn it.
Flavor Flav.
When Kat had that little skit, which is a true story, well, Flavor Flav was basically cooning, but he was cooning for, like, millions of dollars. Really, what it all boils down to is that black people will sell their soul for a buck or a trinket.
I love Chuck D, but Chuck D making songs for the X Games now. Really?
Well, what else is he going to do? I mean, what else is he going to do? I mean, it's not like they weren't taking their money and investing it. I mean, these guys, when they got these big, when they got their contracts and whatnot, these dudes didn't do nothing with their money. Take a look at NWA. You take a look at, I mean, they talk about the financial failure rate of the NFL and the NBA. Nobody's talking about the financial failure rate of rappers. Nobody, even the ones you think are successful, nobody's talking about
that.
These dudes didn't build anything. I mean, Ice Cube is one of the very, very, very few success stories that we can talk about. He's probably not going to die broke, but he's one of the very few we can talk about, and that's it. These dudes are not building nothing. They're not sitting up here saying, let's get together with other black men and build something. You take a look at all those movies Ice Cube made. Who else got anything out of it other than him? Maybe Chris Tucker, I don't know. Anthony Anderson, all these black men he dealt with. Who else? You tell me any of them that are major figures today. Tell me any of them who are major figures today after all that.
I talk about that all the time. Think about all, wait a minute. Look at Tyler Perry and all the fucking work he's doing, but ain't nobody done come out of Tyler Perry's camp and became somebody. This nigga got an acting job on his own for a major damn movie, but he didn't get nobody else one. How does your producer and your director get a major acting film, a major role in film before any of the people he put on? What does that tell you?
I mean, weren't you the guy wearing the dress and now you're Alex Cross? Now you're Alex
How,
Cross.
What does that tell you, though?
I mean,
what does that tell
not,
you?
If this is not the reverse of the Help, I don't know what is. I mean, this was the dude wearing the dress, and you white folks have made him taken over from Morgan Freeman, and this is going to be Alex Cross? Really? Are you serious about this? And yes, that's the way it is. Nobody has made anything. Don't. I mean, I respect Tyler Perry for what he's done for himself. And I respect
yep.
the potential of what he's put together. But historically speaking, he's going to end up, from what I'm seeing right now, he's going to end up just like Bill Cosby. He's going to have a bunch of females who wish they could have been with him while he was big. And they're going to be talking about what he could have done and how great it is. But he's done something for himself. And this now, you remember Chris Rock's Never Scared special, where he said when a white man gets some money, he builds a Walmart and helps other white people get some money. When a black man gets the money, he buys some damn jewelry. And that's what we do. So he's built a production company, but just like Oprah, no wonder they both hang out together so much. This production company is not for his people. It's for him. This is for the benefit of him and him alone. We
think about it. Oprah didn't even try to get a family. Think about all the high-priced white people that you know right now, the white women. Them bitches, the first thing they do is go out and get a family.
Oprah
didn't even get a family.
Oprah put her school in Africa while she was here in Chicago.
But isn't that really the same thing, though?
Really,
let me tell you why they did that. And here's what a lot of people don't know. The reason they're building them schools in Africa, because if you know a lot of them women are trying to build schools in Africa, they build schools in Africa so they can do like the white folks and go over there and drain the resources from Africa.
Well, not just that, brother. I mean, they're doing like the white men. Because you understand something now. You've gone around this, Tommy, you know that. Wasn't it always interesting how these white guys will always be interested in going some sub-Saharan or third world hellhole on the other side of the
They've
world.
They've been
Every
making songs
around,
about it since the 70s. White people love this, going into, you're right.
They love going to the Philippines. They love going to Brazil. They love going to Ethiopia, just some hellhole somewhere. You know, some place where child prostitution is overlooked or illegal. Some place where getting drugs is easy.
Well,
they go to some place where there's some illicit activity. It's a doctor. Your doctor is telling you that he just came back from Calcutta. He just came back from Laos. And it's like, wait a minute, you're a white man walking around Laos. There ain't no damn luxury hotels in Laos. What the hell are you doing there? The only thing you can do there is get drugs and children. That's all you can do. Now, Oprah Winfrey, understand something, brother. What they do is they go someplace where there are no cameras. And you can go do what the hell you want to. This woman's gone around the world to do something she could have done right here in the United States, build a school for girls. What affinity does she have? What kinship does she have to children in Africa? She don't like niggas in America. Much less in Africa, the only thing she could be doing there is having sexual relations with somebody in a way that you cannot see it. That's the only thing that could happen. And what do you know? The school wasn't open for a whole year before the children came out telling you, by the way, the women who run the school here are doing things to us. Oprah knows who the hell she hired. She was just hoping that the hoes. She was just hoping that the hoe
right.
she was dealing with would keep it on the low and run this thing right so when she comes back, everything will be sitting like it was when she left it. And she set up here and set it up, and she left, and the heavens went hog wild. They're grabbing the 8th graders, the 9th graders, lick them up, lick them down, and Oprah comes back and lawsuits. The kids, bigger than little kids, knew how to find a lawyer, but they did. So that's it. They helped bust a good hustle that she had running over there. She figured she was going to have little gals lined up for the next 20 years. Now she's got to try to make this thing look legit and build another school somewhere else so she can be the person she's always wanted to be. This is what niggas do with their money. When white folk get money, they go on a power trip. When niggas get money, they go on an ego trip. And that's why we're where we're at.
Oh, hey, we got to use that to go on a damn break and come out of this break, and we're going to let y'all talk to us live on the phone. I had to let Jason Maisha handle that one. Hold on, Maisha. After the break, I'll bring you guys in. I'm up against it. When I, after break, though, I'm going to let Maisha start off, and then we're going to answer all you guys' phone calls. The number is 347-989-8310. Whoo, that was deep. Got to stop it there. You guys know who I am. You know what this is. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
It's the way you bring out the sun. It's the way you make it all fun.
Know who makes the day sunny? My mom and Sunny D. I love the taste. Mom loves the vitamin C. And now it has 40% fewer calories than most regular soda brands. Sunny D.
Drink up and download free music. Find out more at sunnyd.com.
It's new! It's nice and easy Color Blend Foam. Permanent color with tones and highlights now in a delightful foam. Just reshape, foam it, love it.
It's fantastic.
New Nice and Easy Color Blend Foam. Your right color.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even me. But I think they call this family time. I won't tell them that. Get the Wii console plus Mario Kart Wii, a Wii wheel accessory, and more. Now for just $149.99. Rated E for everyone.
I'm Phil Mickelson, pro golfer. If you have painful, swollen joints, I've been in your shoes. One day I'm on top of the world. The next I'm saying,
I have this thing called psoriatic arthritis. I had some intense pain. It progressively got worse.
My rheumatologist told me about Enbrel. I'm surprised how quickly my symptoms have been managed.
Because Enbrel suppresses your immune system, it may lower your ability to fight infections. Serious, sometimes fatal events, including infections, tuberculosis, lymphoma, other cancers, and nervous system and blood disorders have occurred. Before starting Enbrel, your doctor should test you for tuberculosis and discuss whether you've been to a region where certain fungal infections are common. Don't start Enbrel if you have an infection like the flu. Tell your doctor if you're prone to infections, have cuts or sores, have had hepatitis B, have been treated for heart failure, or if while on Enbrel, you experience persistent fever, bruising, bleeding, or paleness.
Get back to the things that matter most.
Good job, girl.
Ask your rheumatologist if Enbrel is right for you.
Don't worry, Lucky. These Wheat Thins Crunch Sticks will save us.
DMV Staffing, national industry leader in staffing opportunities. Our years of staffing experience has taught us a few things. If you provide the right opportunity at a very high salary, people will perform their very best. We understand that needing more money than you're currently making is not your fault. We know if given the right opportunity, you could make more money. What if you could send your children to the best schools and take multiple vacations a year? If you had the right opportunity to make more money, you could.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tommy Sotomayor. And I'm sure you're like everyone else out here that wants to take control of your work future. Well, one of the best ways that we here at Your World, My Views know how to do that is to get in contact with DMV Staffing. Just log on at dmvstaffing.com or go to yourworldmyviews.com and tommysotomayor.com, sotomayortv.com, where the links will take you to DMV Staffing, because we know DMV Staffing will do all that they can to make sure that you have the job of your dreams. You want to make sure that you can take that vacation you wanted and you can take care of your family as well as those around you. And that starts finding a job that can help you be financially secure. So go on to dmvstaffing.com and make sure that you let them know Tommy Sotomayor sent you.
And now, back to the show where truth is king and logic reigns supreme. Your World, My View, your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor, and I'm being joined by two of my friends, man Jason Black and Maisha, Chicago living. but out of Dallas, Texas. Now, it was something you wanted to say before after Jason. I had to go to a break for two reasons. One, I had to go because I was being forced. But two, after Jason dropped that bit of knowledge, I think everybody needed to take a damn breath, get some water.
Om Shanti. Do some yoga or something.
Yeah, that was... I went to the bathroom, beat my meat, but that's neither here nor there. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Whoa. That quick? Anyway.
I'm quick draw McGraw.
All right.
If you fuck me, you can do it in between your lunch break.
No, thank you. No, but what I was going to touch on was just back to... I think it's just like the money issue with us and how we just, like, the consumerism and just how we're just really off track and things like that. Like, literally, I was, like, listening to the ads and stuff, and I totally forgot what we were talking about. I was trying to get us back on the subject is what I was talking about. Yes, that's where I was going. Because we got off the subject that you initially wanted us to talk about, which was what can black men do to make things better.
Oh, we never get off the subject on my show. Whatever the subject comes up is the subject.
No. Yeah, that's cool. But, I didn't know if the people calling in were going to, want, I don't know. I'm not trying to run your show. I'm not.
I had an idea on that. Rayon McIntosh, Ardis Hughes, Darren Long. What do all these people have in common? What they have in common is this is our proof positive that, in case anybody was wondering, the dynamic has changed. We are witnessing, we are entering, you talk about what black men need to do. We are witnessing and entering a renaissance of black male leadership. And it starts with black men taking their proper place. The police card is officially being pulled. This is what's happening right now. Saying I'm going to call the police has officially been neutralized. I'm sorry, I left the name off that list, Chris Dornan. I'm sorry, I left the name off the list.
Mm-hmm.
We as black men cannot lead if someone can hold a gun over our heads, an axe over our head, a threat over our head. We cannot lead. What this black society is lacking, socioeconomically, education, spiritually, mentally, what is lacking is male leadership.
Well, don't you understand
that? That's lacking.
Well, Jason, don't you understand that that's the first place they went with me? Yeah. That is the exact first place they went with me. I guess they assume there's got to be something out there, so we'll throw something up like this, and surely he'll back away because he don't want nobody to know this, and there may be people coming to try to get him, so he's going to want to hide like most people do. That was the first card they threw up.
Well, they were trying to find what was more important to you than your life. That's what they were trying to find. And they were pretty sure that if we threatened enough things, they would find you just like everybody else. Well, they know typical Negro reaction, so they'll find something that he cares about more than his life. And what they found out is that you are the most dangerous type of man in the world, the man with nothing to lose. And that's what scares them even more. So at this point right here, what they're really going to do at this point, and I mean this seriously, they're probably going to start giving up and backing off or what it looks like that way and wait for you to get bigger. And hopefully we can discredit him when he gets level. So
I know that. I believe that.
In front of the masses,
yep.
That's what we're going to do. Let's see if we can pull something a lot bigger and just when he does get up, everybody get behind him and rah-rah, and then we knock his feet out from under him, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, were you with him? No, I wasn't with him. I mean, he was just entertaining, but I wasn't really, really with him, And that does even more damage when you do that. If you can't squash them when they're little, wait till they get big and then discredit them, their movement, the ideology, ever. You get it all when you do that.
Yep.
And
the
that's
only thing
probably
bigger,
what they'll be angling on next.
The only
actually,
thing bigger than the fall is an epic fall.
There will be no epic fall.
No, because that's the funny part. They can only repeat the same thing. And the funny thing is, I'm not a dummy. They didn't just hand out degrees. I know what I'm doing, and I knew that there was a reason why. And it's almost like having a friend. When you tell a friend you did something, but 5 years later they figure you made some more friends and them other friends don't know you did that. So they'll just keep repeating the same thing that you told the first friends you had before you got more friends. They'll just keep repeating that thing that maybe you find embarrassing. You ever had friends when you get big enough, they start repeating what you did in elementary? You used to pee on yourself, and you thinking, really? We fucking 40 years old. Now you still bringing that up, huh?
But the thing is, Tommy, the difference between you and any other person is that you'll go, yes, that's a fact, moving on. If you keep doing that's a fact and keep moving on and saying what is the truth, there's no ammunition.
Yep.
They've dug up what they can dig up. There is nothing else. You know,
I always
Photoshop
tell people that's the
funny.
Funniest part about me. I disarm
the
people.
Photoshop
all the time.
Was really hilarious because I caught all of that. I was like, what is the, well, the thumb. but other than that, you're good. You're good.
The difference between us and so many other societies, though, is that other societies have had the benefits of evangelists. We don't have any evangelists for black. We don't have any evangelists for us. You got evangelists for, I guess, their idea of Jesus, idea of a religion, whatever. We don't have any people who say, you know what, I am here to promote and teach the sermon of blackness for black people. We don't have that. And live and die for European imperialism. Live and die for white supremacy. And go preach it. No, for no charity, for no honor, for no popularity. They've just done it because this is what they felt they had to do. And this is why you have black white folk who they go to work and they go to church, but they're armed to the damn teeth. Because they've remembered that, you know, you have a job and you got children, but remember where you came from and remember what's important. They don't trust the government, and they're showing you, we don't just talk this, we live this. There's a big difference. That evangelism has stuck. In black society, I suppose it's hard to be an evangelist when you don't even have a purpose. Hard to give a sermon when you don't even have a lesson. I guess that's the point. Because swag ain't no lesson.
If you have a sermon and a lesson, it falls on deaf ears, then what's it good for?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, I think Tommy and other people are proof that there are people who are listening. The problem is, as a people, we don't place any value on it, and that's why very few people teach it. Because what Tommy does is not swagalicious. It's not the way to bring in the hoes. And it doesn't make a bunch of quick money. It doesn't make easy money.
Nope.
And so you see, you just removed three of the biggest draws right there.
Yeah.
And that's why it's funny. One of the things, if you listen to them, the things that they're saying, I always listen to the things. And this is one thing that black men need to stop doing. They need to stop listening to the white noise. They need to stop being able to have their direction be changed just because they will hear the white noise. They have rabbit ears. And let me explain. You have people who are running around now, and they've said two things in 1 week. One of them was, I'm getting rich off of YouTube. Then the same week they said, I'm poor. That's why there's a donate button on my page. So here's what they want me to do. They want me to come out and show the world that I'm broke, and they want me to take down the donate button so I could struggle some more. They want to shame you about something that if you go to a huge company, they still have a donate button. These same black people who say it's an affront to have your people want to donate in order to keep you going, white people went and donated to George Zimmerman and felt real proud about it.
To the tune of what, $300,000?
$300,000.
Yes.
For a man who is guilty as cancer walking and didn't have a problem doing that. If you don't believe that these other people have their problem, understand something, $300,000, that bastard hit the lottery. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, seriously, just think about that right there. How many black folk are going to retire with $300,000 in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
How many Hispanics are going to retire with $300,000 in the bank?
Hey, Jason,
and he's probably
let's
he
make sure we
more
understand. Well, Jason, let's make sure we understand that they make sure that they understand the $300,000 came within a couple of months.
Yes, in a very, very short amount of time. It didn't take long to pass the hat. Now, you got innocent black. That's what they did for a guilty white man. You got innocent black men behind bars. And if it's not for Barry Sheck and the white men and white women of the Innocence Project, their asses will die behind bars. Because
yeah.
Niggas ain't going to raise 3 cents. because that's not what we do.
Nope.
Damn, Troy Davis, the new retro Jordans are coming out. I can't miss that. What the hell are you talking about? He's in jail. That nigga gonna die in jail if I gotta miss these sneakers, dude.
That's what I'm telling him. I'm like, you got white folks who do the exact same thing. You got Rush Limbaugh, who doesn't have a degree in nothing, and you don't have no white folks throwing that in his face, talking about some don't listen to him. Yet you got black folks who have all the accreditation in the world trying to do something to help people, and other black folks will still do something to discredit that person, as you said, because we don't want to see him do nothing, and we damn sure ain't raising no money. If OJ didn't have money for his own defense, his ass would be in jail, period.
Dude,
no black folks going to send OJ no money.
He would have been executed, plain and simple. That
sure
would have been it. He had to take care. I mean, this is why when they get to that point, they just say, I mean, this is the other side of it, though, because when I talk about black folk going on an ego trip, this is the other side of it, because it's like, well, I'll do something for my people. My people ain't really about doing something for me, because if I need them, how many of them are going to have my back? Ain't
that's
that right,
why
Ray
it's
Lewis?
Easy to turn our backs away from blacks, because if you've been around and fought in the trenches with blacks long enough, you will realize, like MC Hammer, when he came on the show, he said one of the saddest things he's seen was all those people he gave jobs, all those people he gave work. He said as soon as he hit hard time, all those people turned their back. He said he didn't get it.
That's a really sad thing that would happen. And like my father taught me, this is why I respect everybody. He always taught me it takes all kinds. Right when you know everything and someone doesn't know anything, you will learn something from that person. And that's the problem. We can't think outside of ourselves. We're very emotional people. You know, we're very complacent. I have a job that pays me $16 an hour, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep that job. Things like that. It doesn't matter what wrong happens, you know, to another person or what you hear or how someone treats you. We're willing to do whatever it takes just for the scraps.
Mm-hmm.
While everybody else is getting the big bucks.
You know,
we work harder and other people work smarter. I'm a work smarter person myself, but the thing is, I've witnessed this, especially being in Texas. I had to get out, you know, and, you know, people will be like, oh, Chicago, it's wild. You know, yeah, it's a little wild, but at least the people here that we deal with on a regular basis know what it is. Down there in Texas, there's a lot of stepping and fetching going on. There's a lot of play pretty. There's a lot of bowing down when it's unnecessary, and that's the problem, is that we don't see that. It's very unnecessary to be disrespected. But
right.
How do you open your mouth and say this is not what it's going to be? How do you articulate that? And a lot of people don't know how to articulate this is how you're going to treat me, therefore, or this is what you're going to pay me instead of this or that. I mean, I think really our biggest problem besides cohesion is the fact that we're so, how can I put it?
Our biggest problem is integration. I'm dead serious. Because when you're weak, you have an affinity for what you see as power and strength.
Okay.
You have an affinity for what you see as power and strength. And because blacks were weakened and you gave them integration, their whole role and drive in life was to be accepted by the people they felt were strong. If you notice, if you're a white person and you live in a black neighborhood, something bad happened. If you're a black person and you live in a white neighborhood, something good happened. If you're in one neighborhood, you strive to be in the other. If you are in the other neighborhood, you work hard to not be in the other. Their incentive is to remain away from us. Our incentive is to get to them. Think about it. Their incentive for doing their job is to remain separate from us. Our incentive for doing our job is to gain acceptance from them. How can you win when that's the carrot being held in front of your face?
You know, that's when you have psychological warfare going on at this level, because they're playing against your own worst instincts. They're playing against your own worst traits. I put up a post earlier today on Facebook where I was stating that, you know, single motherhood is financed by the government, and that this, in effect, this makes the women undesirable because, of course, no man wants to have children with a woman who's going to have the offspring of another male. I mean, in the animal kingdom, that's the way it is. I mean, no lion, no bear wants to have children.
Yeah, in the animal kingdom, Jason, let's get it straight. In the animal kingdom, they would kill that first pride.
Yes. I mean, he's not going to keep around the offspring of another male. So, of course, naturally, this is not going to be the case here. So this makes the women undesirable as mates. So what you have is a soft genocide. Now, these people put a lot of thought into these kind of things here. They're willing to put a little money into it if it keeps you prostrate like that. Now, they're getting ready to legalize 10 or 12 million illegal aliens, and that's the official number. It's probably closer to 20 million if you want to be honest about it. And understand something, when that takes place, you're going to see a metamorphosis happen here, because we've witnessed it in California, and we've witnessed it in Florida, and you're witnessing it in Texas, because they are going to use a, quote, minority to deal with their longstanding problem. We as black people are not going to be – you might as well leave Florida now. You will no longer have the numbers to do anything. Affirmative action is no longer going to apply to you. And understand something, these people do not see themselves as a minority. They see themselves as an emerging power. They don't see themselves as a minority, not the damn way that we do.
Nope.
And we as black people, being as complacent as we are and playing around, we don't understand that these are two European cultures that are getting ready to merge. Because when you take a look at what happened with the Irish and the Italians, the 20th century, the Irish and the Italians and the Germans and the Brits, they all start saying to each other, you know what, we've got more in common with each other than we have differences. We've got the same religion. We come from the same continent. We have a lot of the same history. We call the same person God. I mean, the same languages in most cases. We've got more in common with each other than we do apart. And guess what? Today, that's not even an issue anymore, except amongst the very old. Now, the Hispanics from Mexico and whatnot are about to have the same thing. When they say, well, wait a minute, where are you from? Well, we're from Spain. Well, that's a European culture country. Who's your God? Jesus. Well, hey, you. What do you know? We're already friends. What do you know? And then they're all going to say, you know what? We have more in common with each other than we don't. Where's the food? You know, the Negroes, the food. That's where they are over there. And we're going to come to the table with nothing to play with. And you know what? This is good. Because we as black people, as you just said, the biggest problem is integration. What you're really meaning to say there is that the biggest problem is that we as black people have not been left to our own devices. We haven't been required to do something on our own. Because when you're required to do something on your own, you can't sit up here and look for Big Daddy or pretend that you're mixed or any of the rest of that mess. When you're on your own, you got to actually build and produce or perish.
Well, and that's what we're missing. There was a time in which they saw that was working for us, and that's why they blew it up. If black people don't understand anything, when we were left to our own devices and we started thriving, they blew the shit up. There's a reason why they decided, you know what, let's just give them this crap. Let's make them want it. And it's the same thing a woman does. A woman makes you want some pussy that she done gave to some other people. They did the same thing with integration. They make you want it so much that you think if you get it, you will make your damn life. They didn't give a crap about it. They just wanted you to want it. They didn't want to just give it to you, because then you might think about it. That's same with a woman with pussy. Oh, just give it to you, then he might think about it. So make him feel like he fought for it. Blacks, what did you really do to get integration? Think about it. Just go back and look over the history. What did you really do? See, the colonists really did something to get the United States. See, the North really did something to get the Union. What did you get to get to eat at white counters? What did you do to get the right to vote? What did you do? When did you march on D.C. and start shooting? Did I miss that in the history books? Did I miss that in the black power play? When did you do this? When did you stand up and declare war against some white town. And they had to call in the National Guard. See, the last time black people had the National Guard called in was Watts riots, the L.A. riots. And who were they riding on? Motherfuckers did not go anywhere near Rodeo Drive. They didn't go anywhere near Hollywood Boulevard. Where did the black folks go? To their own damn shit.
Yep.
Now, what they realized was that there's a potential at that point. You have civil unrest. The potential is there that now they're up, they're in the streets, they're rioting, and somebody could possibly galvanize this. Better give them some tennis shoes.
Yep.
And that pretty much took care of that for the most part there. Now, two quick points I want to make here. What I was saying before about the Mexicans and whatnot, very interesting. Do you know there's a bunch of Mexicans who do not consider themselves Mexican / Hispanic / Latino? They consider themselves
We have a lot
white.
Of that in Texas. And they do their language. They will not speak it.
They consider themselves white.
They will not deal with other Mexican people who are dark.
I don't just mean that. I don't just mean that. I mean on the census forms, and the job applications, they put down white on their census forms and job applications. They say, I am white. I'm not Mexican. I'm a white person of Mexican geography, but I am white. Now, that's the first thing. Second thing, black folk, what happened to us? And let's just be honest about this. White folk broke us. They didn't just break our will to fight. They broke our spirits. They didn't need a picture of a white Jesus to do that. They broke our spirits is what it was.
Oh, yeah, they use a musket. They started out using a musket, then they went on up to a whip, and they just made – I tell people, a lot of people don't know that black history. What they used to do when they first brought us over, they would take the biggest, strongest buck they had on the plantation, get him in front of everyone else, and blow his brains out. Do you understand what that did to people who'd never seen that crap? Do you understand what other Africans who had never seen that? Imagine if you'd never seen a horror movie, you'd never seen someone get shot in the face. What would the rest of the people do after seeing this weapon that is so powerful it turned a man's head into a canoe?
And this is a long-standing tradition in white civilization. If you go back to the Vikings, if you go back to the Vandals, which is the origin of the word vandalism, it's just wanton destruction. They have a long-standing history of using asymmetrical warfare and, dare I say it, horrific horror story tactics to intimidate people, psychological warfare to intimidate people. There's footage, and you all can look it up for yourselves. Don't believe me. Go find some of these valiant white World War II veterans who have their samurai swords that they got from killing Japanese on Iwo Jima. Because the Japanese had their samurai swords. Go take a look at some of the history. Now, 10 years ago, I don't know if they're still showing today, where the American soldiers are riding back on their tanks with the heads of Japanese soldiers tied to the sides, hanging off their tanks, like they're the ancient Angles coming back from the Middle East. And this was just seven, eight decades ago that they were doing this. Not a whole lot of distance there now, is there? This is a tactic that they use because they understand that they're showing people that this is a tactic that you use to break people is what you do. That's not a tactic used to win. You've already won. What's Nat Turner? When you take a man and skin him and dismember him and turn his skin into purses and everything else like that, what are you doing? You already stopped him. You already killed him. Why are you doing the rest of this? This is not for him. This is for the rest of y'all living. We're making an example. This is to break you. And the real question is, are you a people who could be broken like that? In the Middle East? No. And in Europe? No. Travel on down to Africa. Oops.
Because in the Middle East, what did they start doing to white people? Same crap. 1990, what was it? Was that 2000? It was in the 2000s.
Musab al-Zarqawi sat up here and took, I think it was Nicholas Berg, put it on video and said, You know what? Two of us can play this game. If
sure
you want
did.
To play the game of intimidation and psychological warfare, understand the machete is at the ready, and we can put this on YouTube all damn day. Let's go with it. And to the point that the scene, the imagery of him doing that became so intimidating, so psychologically intimidating. They got it in video games now. They did it in the first Iron Man movie. I mean, the imagery of that is so stark. You had never seen something like this before. This became trademark. We as black folk, I mean, seriously, Africa is the only place in the world where you can do crowd control with a tree branch. Seriously. It's the only place in the world where you can stop a riot with a tree branch. You don't have to shoot anybody. They only shot those miners because they were here to intimidate people. They weren't a physical threat. We don't operate like that. And what I'm saying is that we as Africans have been fed a lie. You've been fed a lie that you're the most violent. You've been fed a lie that you're the most savage. You've been fed a lie that you're the most barbaric. And I'm here to tell you today, no, you are not the most savage. You never have been. You're not the most barbaric. You never have been. You're not the most violent. You never have been. And damn it, if you're going to survive, you better start being. Because everybody else is violent with us.
And let me tell you this. If you guys, I'm sure everybody know about the bomb that was dropped on the island. Yes, it ended World War II. But what you don't know is the war was already over when both bombs were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The war was already over. Do you know why they dropped that bomb? Those bombs? To prove a fucking point. They wanted to prove a point to the rest of the fucking world that when these roaches come in our house, we stomp these motherfuckers. And if you want to be like them, this is what you will get. They didn't stop at we won. No, they wanted to show their new toy. And they wanted to use their new toy on this village, these village people. Because let me tell you who they did not use their new toy on. Other white people.
Well,
now, who
should
have been bombed? Should the Germans have been bombed? Or should the people who were fighting with such lack of technology that they were using the mental ability of their people to convince them to ram planes into stuff? Who should have been bombed? But who got
it? I don't know if a lot of people got the significance of what you just told them. I'm pretty sure they didn't. 150,000 people died in the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, when the decisions were made to do that, the decision was made because there was an arms race between America and Germany. Most of the scientists who worked on the Manhattan Project were actually defectors from Germany. So they, and then we found out just how close Hitler was to perfecting that thing. So we did it to show the world that we got the bomb and we got it first, and we're damn willing to use it. I say we. They're damn willing to use it. And another thing right here, let me make sure that you all are very well aware of this, because Tommy and I and Maisha, we all have to remember we're getting older now. We are becoming the older generation. 9/11 was 10 years ago. Hell, 9/11 was, what, 11 years ago?
Way more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we have to understand we're going on over a decade now. So there are folk who are listening to your show tonight who were in elementary school when it happened. And some of them may have been in diapers when it happened. So they don't remember it the way that we do. But we all remember what they were saying. Bin Laden is evil. Bin Laden is the devil. Bin Laden is a beast. Bin Laden is a monster. Why? Because he attacked innocent civilians. It was what, you remember the term they told us, asymmetrical warfare. A military power hitting people who are not soldiers. But wait a minute. What was the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Hiroshima was not a military installation. It was a city. And so was Nagasaki. Those were not people shooting at planes. These were just the two largest cities. You bombed them because they were civilians. You bombed them because they were unarmed.
And you wanted to show the world you were cold fucking blooded, which is one thing black people have yet to learn, that every other civilization had to show everyone around them that they were cold fucking blooded, which is why even when you watch white Hollywood, what do they do with the movie The Predator? When the alien would come down and kill the damn his prey, what would it do? Spine, take the spine out, take the head off, clean it off. Didn't walk around with that motherfucker. Why is it so many of their movies is doing that? Do you not understand why you got Vlad the Impaler has had movies made out to him? The Twilight franchise, all after a man who did what? Vlad the Impaler, all he did was when he ruled, he took everyone's head, everyone's body. And literally, that's why they called him the Impaler. Because he, right, outside his castle, had bodies of anybody who questioned his rule, impaled.
Our problem as black people, though, is that we're showing everyone that we're cold-blooded to one another. That's why we're not a threat.
That's not being cold-blooded, then. That's just being stupid.
Now, exactly. Now, no one fears you killing yourself.
Of course not. But
now,
what
happened after you bombed the cities, though? That broke them. Because they signed, basically, Hirohito was done after that. As soon as they did that, as soon as they saw how far they were willing to go, as soon as they saw those casualties, you got the women and the children and the bakers and the schools and everything on fire. It broke their will to fight. And not only did it break their will to fight, it broke their spirit. Understand, Japan is still technically occupied. They are not allowed to. They are still living.
They're not allowed to have a standing army.
They're not allowed to have a standing military. They are still an occupied country. We are their military. They're still occupied to this day. So what does that tell you? That did not just break their will to fight. That broke their spirit. And what does this tell you more? These people have a history of doing it, and they know how to do it.
And look at what they've created on that island. On that island, they've created a bunch of Japanese people who right now, if a white man walked over there and wanted to take one of their women, he could take one immediately. They've created a group. Yeah, they've created a people who can't even draw characters that look like themselves in a cartoon.
Thank you. Thank you. The biggest export that they have, thank you, Tommy, because you took the words out of my mouth. The biggest export we have, and anybody here who watches anime will bear us witness,
manga.
The anime characters do not look like Japanese people. We've always noticed that. By the way, you people draw these characters with these great, big, huge eyes. Why do you not draw them with almond eyes? Well, not just that. They draw them with big eyes and blonde hair
and blue eyes.
When was the last time you saw an anime, except in the last 10 years, I mean, of a Japanese character with black hair? That's in the minority. They're usually going to have orange hair, gold hair. You take a look at Pokemon and the rest of that stuff. Dragon Ball Z with hair all over the damn place.
Vampire Hunter D was like the one with the darkest hair that I remember.
But now, you take a look. If that's the definition of breaking a people's spirit to the point that they bow down to you, does that sound like somebody else you know?
Yes. And that's why I tell people all the time. I tell people, look at South Africa. When people talk about apartheid and them white people, I kept explaining to them, do you understand that in South Africa there were 5 million blacks and 500,000 whites?
And the whites just ruling. And
exactly.
Still do.
They
and
made
still
no sense
to this day.
By sheer number. By sheer number, blacks. But then there were plantations in the South. By the time slavery stopped, people understand. The plantations in the South had more slaves than people who lived in the house. And they were so afraid after seeing that one man get his head split open like a canoe. You got them at that point. There has been cases. I don't know if you guys know Elizabeth Smart. You guys know the name?
Of course.
Yes.
18 years. The man had broken her so much that he allowed her to go out and play. She would come home.
Stockholm. It's the Stockholm syndrome.
White folks have allowed us to go out and play. Why? Because they know we'll come home. That's why they don't talk about Nat Turner in this fucking February, because he didn't come home. Why do you think white folks gonna talk about the motherfuckers that didn't come home? When y'all on dates, do y'all talk about the bitches that thought you was lame? Women, when y'all on dates, do y'all talk about the niggas that you that knew you was crazy, that you did something stupid to? No. You fabricate your history. White people are smart at fabricating their damn history. I heard somebody say history is written by the winners. Losers don't get to tell their damn story. Well, black folks, we keep being losers in our own house and somebody else's house.
And we know our story and still won't tell it.
That's right.
That's the shame of it. They ain't even robbing. We know our story, and we're scared to tell it. We're trying to tell somebody else's. Tommy, I gotta break out of here, but I want to just leave you with one last thing here.
All right.
Brothers and sisters, the story of Chris Dornan is not his story. It's our story.
Yep.
And I want you to take one thing away from that experience. Don't let anybody sit up here and get you off into a false conversation about what his motivations were and what his reasons were and why he was doing it. Don't let anybody get you off into a false conversation about what he did or what he didn't do. You need to remember to use this as an exercise to become psychologically reflexive, that you must have a psychological reflex. That if it is a black person, that you hear their side of the story and you listen to their side first before you listen to anything else. And especially when you have a situation where it's a black person and there's a police department, especially one as ridiculously suspect and corrupt as the LAPD.
Amen.
And if you all want some real facts on that, go watch the documentary Bastards of the Party, where they talk about how they got Southern cops and did recruiting from the South back in the 50s and 60s to bring them out to California because they understood that Southern cops would understand the kind of police control they wanted out there. And we as black people need to adopt a mindset of black first. And we're not going to become suspicious of somebody because somebody else told us to be, because that's what it always is. You're always told who to suspect. You're always told who you're supposed to be suspicious of. And then you buy into it. Take this as an exercise. Take this as a moment that in history, if it was Nat Turner, they told you he was the bad nigga. And Denmark Vesey, they told you he was the bad nigga. And Gabriel Prosser, they told you he was the bad nigga. And Toussaint Louverture, they told you he was the bad nigga. You take this as your modern-day exercise and say, hold up. I will make up my own mind here. I will come to my own conclusion. And we are going to start from a new paradigm that he is innocent until proven guilty. And nothing you say is going to write this history. Nothing.
And
carry
I'm
on,
gonna,
brother.
Thank you, Jason Black. Hey, guys, if you haven't learned nothing when this man come on, you just won't damn learn.
He was amazing.
Yeah, I love it when he talks. We're going to bring in some callers and let him come and talk to us. Stop letting people tell you that your criminals aren't revolutionaries. See, their criminals are revolutionaries. That's what black people don't understand. White people will back a criminal and tell you that he only did that crime for the good of his people. Black folks, well, we get told that guy's a bad guy, and we go with it. Bring in Alexander Leroy to start off. Alexander Leroy, what's your words?
Give me one. All right, now your speaker. What's going on, Tommy?
Nothing much. You said you wanted to speak. I'm going to let you speak. I'll give you a couple of minutes because I'm going to try to let everybody get on this one. This is an important topic. Go ahead.
Okay, first, where Jason, I'm kind of sad he left before I got to speak to him about this, but when he was talking about Japan and how they were broken so much that even in their animes that they portrayed him with the bigger eyes and the blonde hair and stuff like that, I wanted to also bring up a anime I know everybody watched back in the day, just about everybody, Dragon Ball Z. Notice the different stages of them being strong or whatever, powerful. They had the ape stage where they were super strong but ape shit crazy. They had their regular stage. They had their Super Saiyan 1 and 2 and whatever, where they had blonde, long-ass hair with blue eyes. And you kind of wonder, their strongest stage is this ape. And their strongest stage is some golden ape, but their second strongest stage is some crazy-ass ape. But it's uncontrollable, so they never try to transfer into that because it's uncontrollable. You know, so that kind of I think I started to realize that in my later years of watching it. When I first started watching it, I didn't really understand the race concept behind it. But then as I got older, I'm like, wait a minute. So you're trying to tell me Super Saiyan is this blonde guy with blue eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know. And then talk
about.
Go ahead.
Like I was telling when somebody was got like when I, somebody answered my question when I said why didn't they bomb Japan? They said why didn't they bomb Germany? They said Germany didn't attack Pearl Harbor.
Mm.
And I said the Japanese didn't either. Just like the inside job of the World Trade Center. People got to understand that even American history has revealed that Pearl Harbor was an inside job. Pearl Harbor was just to sway because at that point, America was isolationist.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the citizens believe don't go fight nobody else's war.
Because they were still pissed off about us entering World War One.
Yep. So the only way to get the backing of your people to go and fight in a war that's not theirs is to pretend that it's now your war.
World War One and Two, and I can't remember the kind of war that was going on before World War One. There was something that was going on in Europe too. All those were wars against families. As a matter of fact, World War One was literally a war against cousins. That's not a joke. I want people to understand that World War One was literally a war against cousins. They had the same, I think, grandma. That shit is scary. Okay. Yeah, people don't get that, and the Europeans are really good at that. They're really good at dragging people into their shit, okay? And the British, and it's really the British fault actually, because the British thought they were going to be able to play the Russians and the Germans off against each other so that they can remain in their position as number one. It didn't turn out that way. It didn't turn out exactly the way they thought it was going to turn out. But by the end of World War II, they were shit. They were nothing. And that's why they still hold on to the U.S. coattails. I don't know if people see that more and more as you turn on news, you're hearing more and more British accents. You're hearing more and more British people coming over to our media. The British know how to play this game. They're still playing the same game they've been playing for the longest, still trying to be number one from behind the scenes. You know?
Oh, it's the same thing I've noticed in YouTube. Like, I noticed this in YouTube, and it's a smaller thing, but I don't think it's as small as it is. I don't think people understand how big of a media that is, and when you start spreading things that are, you know, these bad things called truths, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. There are people who I know damn well are white people mm-hmm. who are sending me messages and sending other people messages and making these fake profiles, putting my daughter's picture on it and somebody else's daughter's picture on it and somebody else's daughter's picture on it because they want me to always feel like it's some black woman that's doing this something. So you can keep going back at them. There was somebody who sent me a message. I don't know who it was. I saw him on one of my stuff calling me all kinds of crap. But then on this dude named Harvey Superboy was going up on him and saying, Tommy's a better man than you. And I said, why would this person who just talked all kind of crap to me go tell Harvey Superboy that I'm a better man than them?
Mm. Try to start stuff. As a matter of fact, and to go to the whole race thing and the immigrant thing, because I was thinking about that while you and Jason were talking about it. In South Florida, people have to understand the way white people work. White people know their population is going to shit around the world. It's going to shit. It's going to hell. As a matter of fact, in reality, white people are the minority around the planet. If you want to be real.
9% of the world. They know
yeah.
this.
It's like 9 or 12%. You hear the shit flowing around. It's somewhere between 9 and 12%. That's nothing when you really think about it. Even if it was 12%, let's round it off to 10%. That's only one-tenth of the human population out of 7 billion people plus. That's really nothing. You know, so
why do you think they make sure they control all of the weapons, though? Them being one tenth of the population, who controls all the nuclear weapons?
Minus Pakistan and India. Yeah, Pakistan, India, just them. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Pakistan, India, and China.
Wait a minute.
Sorry.
And who's got the satellites in space that can send them where they need them to go? It's all them.
It's just exclusively them. That I don't think anybody else.
Nobody
has
else
satellites.
Holds
no.
that capability.
No.
Even Pakistan, them. They can they can launch their stuff short range.
Mm-hmm.
We can launch it anywhere in the world and hit it with pinpoint accuracy.
Yep. Only person that's that close to us is Russia. And what's that? A country full of white people. Look at
a bunch of white people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, am I still on?
Yeah, you're still here.
Oh, okay, all right. I was just, I didn't know. But I want to touch on what he was talking about the majority versus minority.
Mm-hmm.
The way we focus on who's the majority in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
is who controls the most money.
And That's something I actually got into a conversation with some of my coworkers about.
This is how they control who's the majority, who's the minority.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Hispanics, I don't know if I'm saying that right, you know, including everybody of Latin descent, are a powerhouse right now. You know, you see, the Hispanic vote being a big deal in the,
in the election,
in politics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem for them is that your economic, whatever. But basically, y'all are coming in, you're building business, you're keeping that business within your own, I remember when there were no, television stations where you could turn it on and it's Spanish. I remember when you could... you had a radio station, all of a sudden they're like, we're going out of business, and it's, Spanish music next or whatever. So you're coming in, you're building this infrastructure, it's scary to them, and the thing is, you're the next majority.
In South Florida, whenever I go to someone's house and they don't have cable, half of the local stations are Spanish stations. That's number one. Number two, I have to applaud the Hispanics on at least one thing. They knew how to play the game politically. They knew how to stand back and say, we're not supporting any fucking body until somebody does something about our concerns. Democrats, for the most part, were the first. Republicans are trying to play the game now, putting Marco Rubio out there. But Marco Rubio, I don't think he's going to get traction like that because he's Cuban, and Cubans generally vote conservative, and they're the only Hispanic group that vote conservative in that large number in their population. So we have to stand and see how that's going to go and whether other Hispanic groups are going to latch on to him or not.
You see how nobody even got it when I made the video a long time ago and I said make them earn your vote, and in that I said black folks, even if you are going to vote Democrat, do like a woman who's going to fuck you the first night but pretend she's not. At least pretend you're not. Make them earn your vote. Black folks come out before the election season even happens and tell other black folks, if you vote Republican, you's a sellout.
When they'd have no idea that their grandparents, if they did have the chance to vote, not their grandparents maybe, but their great-grandparents, if they did have the chance to vote, they would vote Republican. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther King was Republican. But,
But see, we don't deal in logic, though. Logic would say that you do not reveal your hand. You don't reveal your hand before the cards have been dealt. Yet black folks play a game of tunk. That's just me playing. I'm old school. Play a game of tunk, and every card they get, they flip it. And they will show you their facial expression about how they feel about the card they just got. Oh, man, I just got a 7 of club. Oh, man. And while everybody else is holding their damn hand up.
Be the only ones. And it's just,
that's why they don't even talk to us during the election season. They don't.
Because they know. As a matter of fact, it's so blatant that when you have, three, maybe four Republicans not showing up to certain events that you hold, exclusively for Republicans, you know what? We're going to give you this fig leaf. Yes, a vast majority of our people are not going to vote for you. But you know what? We do have a few people that actually want to hear what you're going to have to say. We invite you. And three or four of them blatantly don't show up.
But this is why I said they got it wrong when I said this. I said instead of trying to destroy Herman Cain, Why not let Herman Cain be the anti-Obama, and then you can now
have
vote
two
for
people running. I remember when you made that. I remember seeing that. I'm like, that is so true. Have at least two. Do you know what that'll look like? For the, not even just America, just for the world to see. Yo, yeah, we know white people still run America, but they have two black people running against each other right now on both sides.
Think about how the Harbaughs felt knowing that no matter who win, who loses, we win.
It's not, but what I think black people are missing in this country, and maybe as a whole, is critical thinking. We just don't.
Yes.
We don't see past maybe the first two or three steps, you know. And I might even be giving us too much. We might not even see past the first step.
We don't even know the steps. We think it's a fucking slope.
Right.
So that's why we fall face first.
I had this debate with a dude at my job in my room, and he's 23, so you know it's kind of weird because I'm having this debate with him, and I brought it up, and I said it just like that. You know, the Hispanics at least held out. Everybody know the Hispanics were going to mainly vote Democrat. They're not going to vote Republican for the most part, you know, but at least they had the wisdom to hold it back and have somebody cater to them before they gave a vote, before they gave a final, you know what, we're going with this party for the most part, you know? And he was like, well, I don't know, you know, how do you – like he brings up all these little annoying technicalities. And you know when you're talking to somebody and they're trying to squirm out of it by using all these little, well, we don't know that. Well, that can't necessarily be proven. And you're like, yes, it can actually. You know, they're bringing up all these little technicalities. And it drives you insane because they know it, you know it, but they're trying to play like they don't know it just for argument's sake. I'm debating him, and it just drove me insane to the point where I was like, you know, fuck it. But the point I was trying to make to him is, as black people, you don't think it's horrible that we just have these influxes of immigrants over and over again? You have the Irish and the Italians coming in the early 19th century, late 20th century, early 20th century, you know, and you have these people coming in over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this to you. I can make this very easy. Everybody else realized pretty quick that money bring you start off and you gain some economic power, then you move into politics. Everybody else noticed that. That's why you started seeing police chiefs and shit named O'Leary and whatever the fuck and O'Connor, because they knew we get a little money, then we get into the police system, then we get into the political system. Mm-hmm. That's why you saw when during the and I'm the only person who noticed it during the fucking political debates, you saw both vice presidents make sure they bring up the fact that they were Irish. They did that on purpose. They wanted to show their people we are infiltrating and we are going to always make sure that our interests are brought out. I want to address somebody and then I want to bring something in. Marcus said something and it bothered me. Marcus said Herman Cain was grossly underqualified, and had we allowed him to run, it would have been a bad look on black people. And
Herman
I thought
Cain
to myself,
was...
hold on, but I thought to myself, at least he's built something. The half-breed had done nothing. The half-breed had not built anything. Herman Cain actually worked in a free market, survived, and thrived. The half-breed had done nothing. What had Barack Obama done? Nothing. What had Barack Obama built? Nothing. He's the equivalent of a preacher. You know, somebody who sells you something that they can't even actually give you. Can your preacher give you heaven? No. Can your preacher keep you out of hell? No. Can your preacher prove to you that either exists? No. What did Barack Obama do? He became a community organizer. What is that? A person that does nothing but get other people to do something.
Exactly. I don't agree with Condoleezza Rice. I don't agree with Herman Cain. I don't agree with what's the Supreme Court Justice, what's his face?
Clarence Thomas,
right? But I respect them at the end of the day. You know
Thank
why?
You.
Because especially Condoleezza Rice, like I watched her when she was standing up and speaking to them during the RNC. I didn't agree with shit that was coming out of her mouth, but I respect her immensely. you know, especially Herman Cain. People don't know that. Herman Cain was actually on the chairboard of the Federal Reserve for Kentucky. So this guy was doing stuff, you know. He actually was doing something. You know, I don't agree with these people. I don't agree with them politically. I don't agree with them socially. But I still respect them immensely because they didn't get there out of doing nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. We as black men, and I'm going to leave you on here. I'm going to bring in some more people. We as black men don't understand that. For a black man to say Herman Cain's done nothing and he wasn't qualified, yet the guy you have in office right now literally has done nothing. He had not even led his own state anywhere. And the state that he was a senator in is a crappy state. Based upon the fact
a war zone.
Yes. It's a war zone, but you're going to lead the people? But see, it's okay because we like looking at a half-breed because it lets us know we're still kind of connected to white people. Do you know that black folks found it very interesting that he was cousins with George Bush and shit? See, white folks thought if they put it out there, it would make black folks turn against him. Nope. It made black people like him more.
You know what's funny to me, Tommy? You do have certain white people that kind of see our strife and stuff like that. But I think for them, it's like, wow, I would try to help them. But they're so fucking lost and so fucking stupid. I mean, imagine if you're a white guy and you see black people strife and you know their history and you're like, wow, that really sucks. And then you go into the urban community, you see the way we act and you see the way we dress and you see the way we speak and you see the way we carry ourselves, you know. And why would you want to help out? Why would you even want to do anything for those people? You know, at first glance, at least, all the stereotypes seem to hold up.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Let's bring in some people. I'm going to bring in some people who I've never spoken to.
Tommy, on a lighter note, I'm going to get out of here, but I really enjoyed being on your show. And I look forward to another time.
Well, thank you very much, beautiful. Hope you can join us again this week. And say hi to me on Facebook so I can know who I've been talking to. Say hi to me on Facebook.
I'm on Your World, My Views.
Say hi to me on the last post, and I'll add you onto my personal page.
Great. Good. That's perfect. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Hey, we're going to bring in some callers. I want to bring in some people I've never spoken to before, some new people, and I'm going to bring in my old people too. But I'm letting everybody get on here and have something to say about what we're talking about because this is very interesting to say the least. Bring in Kevin Smith. I've always liked Kevin Smith from when I played Madden. What's up, Kevin? Is Kevin there?
I guess not.
Damn it, Kevin. I gave you that great intro. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Kevin. I know you. I always give people the chance because I know they probably have to unmute their phone and stuff. Kevin, what do you think about the show tonight? What do you want to input on the show?
Well, I used to work for the sheriff's department for 9 years down here in Mobile, and I tell you, on the inside, people will lie and they form cliques. And it's kind of messed up. It had to be that way, but somebody had to stand up and prove a point, and that's what Dorna did.
Thank you. Let me ask you this, though. Like, I think I made it cool to back this dude. I think everybody wanted to back him, but nobody said it until I said, fuck it.
Important people, yes, Tommy. Because I was backing that dude from the second I heard the story. I was like, what?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I believe privately people wanted to, but publicly nobody would say it because we are a scared group of people.
But you know what I think, too, if I could say this for 1 second? We're for sale. Me and a few of the people in the chat room were going back and forth about capitalism and stuff like that earlier, and I was like, I'm not against it, but one of the drawbacks is everything's for sale, including black people.
Well, you have to understand, I'm the only one that had something to fucking lose. I had sponsorships to lose, and I still don't know if it will happen.
True, Tommy, but you're rare. Most people wouldn't say shit because they're for sale. Their mouth is for sale. Let alone their actions. We don't even got to go into it. If their mouth is for sale, their actions have been for sale. Okay? Mouth is for sale. And that's half the problem. In our society as a whole, it's not just black people. Black people are worse. Because you can pay us less because our standards are so low. But we're for sale.
That's what I want to ask Kevin. Well, Kevin, doing what you do, being in why don't you tell us how difficult it is being in the job that you do and being black?
Well, that's what I used to do, and I work offshore now. But when I was there, I was lied on. And that's how I'm not doing anymore. So I can see exactly where he's coming from. And they'll put bad stuff about you. They ruin your name if they can. And I think the man just gave up. Gave up on life. He gave on life. So he said, I'm going to make somebody pay. But and I'm going to tell you, where I worked down here in Mobile, it was ran by a bunch of black women. Tell you the truth, all the lieutenants, the captains, the sergeants, they were black women. And they ran into the ground, just like they're doing the community.
Yes, every time you get, there was a black woman here, Shirley Jackson. Or whatever her name is, not Shirley Jackson, I would do something Jackson. I can't remember that whore's name. Same crap.
Same crap.
And you say to yourself, like you just said, well, they run everything in the ground, but they want to lead it. But it's our fault as black men because you don't put women in control of your shit. White people don't do that.
Yes, no. But we can't even say that.
Well, I know it's this all. I think the thing with black women, where as opposed to black men, me, you, you know, everybody else, you get a job. If you have to move on, we can move on. It's no biggie. But the white man, he'll put that woman in that position over you, and then she gets complacent. She gets lazy and fat, and she says, man, I'm making good money, and I'm going to hold these other niggas down. And that's what they do. I'm telling you, black women are disloyal. I'm not just trying to dump on black women, but that's what it is.
No, I've been saying. I mean, I've always said that. I call them traitors. Black women are traitors. When you walk around with this, and no offense to anybody that has it, I don't say shit to offend you. I say shit to wake you up. If it offends you, it's because you want to remain asleep. You know, kind of like when I go wake up my daughter in the morning and she be pissed at me. It ain't because I did something wrong. She knows she's supposed to get up. She mad because she stayed up too late or don't want to get up. So hence, she take it out on me. That's what most people are doing. If you walk around with these white folks' hair on your head, I'm sorry. That's the first sign. It's just like Alexander Leroy said, hey, if you can get a man to sell you his mouth, his actions ain't far behind.
I'm going to tell you something else about the light women being as loyal. Me and you about the same age. I remember back in the 90s when they had Ricky Lake and even Oprah back in the day, they used to shit on black men. And the black women, they were so ready to do it. I guess they were trying to show the white man that they are better than us. And so now the table turned. You got YouTube, and I appreciate you because you got faggots like Steve Harvey and people like that trying to make them feel good. But now the table turned, and we get to speak back at them, and they can't deal with it.
Nope.
The fact that they can't deal with differing opinions and people saying, because they told the whole world that we was all gay, in jail, and broke. They told the whole world that this is what you get if you get a black man. As a matter of fact, I want to put this video up where this woman was telling the white women to stay away from black men because they ain't shit. Now, what black man have you ever seen had to make a video telling white men to stay away from black women because they ain't shit? We don't need to do that. White men can see it for their fucking self. And if you take a black woman, then God bless you. Nobody gives a fuck. But you this know, black woman felt the need to try and scare white women away from black men because she felt like they can't keep black men. Have you noticed the same crap they say over and over again? As soon as you pick a white woman, they say you must hate your mama because they know they have no virtues of their own. If you're a black woman, you have no virtue of your own. So what you do is question a man's sexuality and his love for his own mother. If you have no virtues, you have to reach for them and make them up as you go. And that's why I would call them the biggest traitors. Because if you watch, the whole world views the black woman as a group of people who don't want to see their men happy. They showed it on the Super Bowl commercial for the last 2 years. The year before, they had the Pepsi commercial where the woman kept fucking with the man about his weight, even though she was the one that was fat. Then she hit him in the head, hit a white woman in the head with a
missed
can,
him and hit
all
the white
because
girl
the white
the
woman
head.
Found her husband attractive.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I didn't make this up. This was put in your face on the world's biggest stage. The next year, what did they do? Black man gets rich off of a stain. tours the country off of a stain. Black woman washes that stain away just because she wasn't a fan of the same team that he was. And black women still didn't get it. They kept telling me, no, this is just them being fans and blah, blah, blah. I said, it would have made sense had she washed it immediately after it fell on. But nobody in their right mind would wash it after this has been what this man has gotten rich off of.
Tommy,
nobody would do that.
It's the world's joke because everybody in the world knows that the women that are the least loyal to their men are black women. They're the least loyal to their men, okay? And you know, and I'm not gonna lie, white men got planet Earth on smash right now. They could go to Asia, snatch them up anybody. They go to the Middle East. They're not too welcome over there.
Well, but, let me tell you, there's a difference. Black men could go into anybody's country and fuck them. That's because people believe we can fuck very well.
Yes.
White men can go into anybody's country and marry them because the world feels like they have power.
Yes, and it's always been a competition really with black men and white men. Nobody else has really ever been in the picture because it's just us two. White men only got us trumped right now because of finances. That's pretty much it.
No, we are the world's greatest warrior that has been asleep for centuries.
Well, tell you what, Chris Donner just showed him. Well, I remember Tupac. Remember he had that tattoo on his chest, that number 50, right? And he explained. He said that number 50 meant that 50 black men can accomplish anything if they work together. Chris Donner was just one man, and he had the whole country shook.
Because if you think about Eric Rudolph was able to stay on the run for a long time. I don't know if you guys remember him. He was the 96 bomber at the Olympics.
Yep.
Why was he able to stay on the run for years? Because other white folks helped him. This black man didn't have no motherfucking help, and he had the public scared as fuck.
And that's one guy, one well-trained guy. You imagine
nobody
was
scared of Eric Rudolph. Eric Rudolph was running from the government. They were just hiding him. This black man here, he had the government afraid more than Eric Rudolph.
To the point where they reopened the case. That was an unnecessary action right there. That was so unnecessary.
Do you know why they did that?
Why was that?
To appease black folks. Because if you get enough black folks like me running around saying, this guy might be a bit of a hero.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they say, we're going to open this case and look into it. So if they do that, well, it'll appease people and, you know, not make them upset.
We're so easy to make fun of, it's not even funny. Black women get made. I don't know if you ever seen, I think it was American Dad, the American Dad episode where the black lady threw acid on the wife.
And you remember I put that up. That was the thing that Fox had banned me for.
It's just that we have these small examples, and mind you, these shows are not being written by black people. These shows are being written by white and Jewish people.
You remember when she threw the acid in her face? She said, take that, you fine-ass white bitch.
There you go.
Now, what woman has to refer to another woman as a fine-ass bitch?
No.
A jealous one. That you can't even keep the fact out. Like, let me tell you what made them really mad. The white chick from Australia that made that video in support to me. And all them niggas kept coming to that talking about how sexy she was and how nice her titties was. Black chicks start coming on that damn post. First they said she didn't exist. She wasn't real. Then when they found out she existed and she was real, what was the next step? Then they said she was a hoe. She was a slut. She was ugly. She was manly. They got pissed off because the niggas were saying how she was fine. They did the same thing to that bronze horse chick. Got that bitch flagged offline because black men were saying, wow, she's got a nice ass. She didn't say nothing about black women. She just walked around with a fine ass. That was it.
We have no standards. I know when I'm in my, but I have these conversations with people at work, right? I like fucking with them. I like pressing their buttons. So I bring up topics and I kind of have them speak on it. And we talk about these dynamics of, well, yo, and they come to me like, Alex, so you trying to tell me you wouldn't talk to a girl just but she got a kid or two? Are you fucking serious? Like, mind you, I'm 26. I'm the oldest one in the room minus one other person.
you know. He's in his 30s. He don't really count. But I'm the older. Everybody else is like 24 and under. And one of them already got a kid from a chick that's 21 or 22 to have another baby before him.
Sir, let me point something out to you. The most popular cartoons out right now, The Simpsons, all of those are Homer's kids. American Dad, all of those are the American Dad's kids.
I already know where you're going with this good stuff.
If you sit there and you look at Family Guy, all of those are Peter's kids.
Now, what about what's his name?
And you look at Cleveland Show?
Yep.
Not only are none of the kids his, but his wife in the other show cheated on him with a damn white dude that was the nastiest white dude of the bunch.
And then cursed him out afterward.
She fucked the nastiest white dude of the bunch. Didn't even get one worth a damn. She got the one who they all say probably got something.
He put on cursed,
and cursed Cleveland out after. And mind you, and people don't understand, these shows are being written by white and Jewish. So it's not black. How are these white and Jewish people knowing these things about you? How do they know these things about you?
Let's bring
Go ahead.
I'm going to bring in some more people. Go ahead.
I'm just saying,
I'm bringing some more people to join us.
Yes, black men, we talk about it. You know, we do a little bit of talking about it. We bring it up, but not to the point where it should be on. But on mainstream, not that it should be on a mainstream commercials, on mainstream shows, being shown over and over again. Well, this is how black women are. This is how black women treat their men. This is how black women treat each other. You know, all these
reality
shows.
You know, the only time
shows,
black women got mad, though, was when a white man called them nappy head hoes instead of beautiful. Then they got mad. Once they said nappy head hoes, which made no sense, that's the most offensive thing you've heard, is to be called a nappy headed hoe. And y'all went on this man's, and y'all went on the Today Show after being called nappy headed hoes, and the whole team had weaves and perms. The whole team had weaves and perms.
But you know what a lot of people don't know? Don Imus got fired. They still had him paying that $25 million. He still got another job.
Yeah, he got another job less than a year later.
Well, let me tell you something. But white people do that to show black people. Let me tell you, when you see, here's how strong the gays are. The gays got mad at what Isaiah Washington said. This man can't get a job since.
Crushed him. Crushed
you
him.
Call a nigga, and get a job the next week. When's the last time y'all heard from your boy, Mel Gibson? Mel having to make straight to DVD movies. This was one of the hottest names in Hollywood. Now let me tell you something. Mel Gibson can't get a job, but that motherfucker that raped and drugged a 13-year-old girl can still work.
Because people have there's certain groups of people that have the power to punish, and Hispanics are growing that power to punish. Black people don't have that power to punish. We don't have that pull. There go your president right there. There go your so-called black president right there. Girl got offed a week or so after leaving the inauguration, you know, get killed. He's not even going. He's sending his wife. So Sandy Hook happened. Wasn't he there? The disaster happened in New York and New Jersey. Wasn't he there? All these different events happen. Isn't he there? He don't send his wife. He goes.
And then the little girl's mama is sitting up there like she just won the fucking lottery while she's sitting there with the president's wife smiling and giggling and shit. My daughter was just buried. I ain't got shit to smile about.
Attention whore.
Thank you. Most of black women, have you noticed that most of black women, look at Trayvon Martin's mama. That motherfucker loved the attention more than she loved her son. You can see it in her face.
And it's crazy to me because this is you just lost a 16 and a 17 year investment like that. You just lost it, and you cry, and that's the end. That's nothing like you. That's like saying you just lost some money that you've been investing for 17 years, 16 years. You know.
Yeah, look at Robin Givens is still running around trying to be Mrs. Domestic Violence 25 fucking years later. 25 years later, this bitch is still mad that Mike Tyson might get a damn show on TV. So you don't want the nigga to never work because you and him had an altercation and he put his hands on you. That's how you want this to work, Robin Givens. You done got married, went on about your life. Ain't nobody trying to stop you from getting a husband or having a family because you was a gold digger. But this man can't work because he put his hands on you 25 years ago.
Black women are the best and the biggest psyop agent in the black community. And white, I got to give it to white men. You got to clap them up for that because that is absolutely genius. We know we can't hold the black men down too long. It's the Adam and Eve complex. It's a really simple story. The snake knows, the devil knows, I can't go to Adam. If I go to Adam, he's going to tell me to kick rocks, go kill yourself because God told me not to bite into this apple. So who am I going to go to? I'm going to go to Eve, and I'm going to let Eve do it. And when Eve gets Adam to do it, that's it. I take both of them down.
And Eve doesn't mind doing it because Eve is jealous of the damn relationship that Adam has with God.
With God, exactly.
Ooh.
Exactly.
And I was going to talk about it, too. You look at Hercules. The only way he could take him down was through his wife. And the only way they could take down Samson was through Delilah. And that's what the white man did with the welfare programs. Before welfare, you didn't see black women just randomly breeding. You didn't see that. And then they randomly breed, and they incentivize breeding.
You're saying it, Kevin. They incentivize breeding. They decentivize families. There's no incentive to having a family in the black community.
In America as a whole, black community gets it worse. It's starting to catch up. As a matter of fact, Tommy, funny stuff. White women are the fastest growing group of women that aren't married with children. They're the fastest growing, which I think is fucking hilarious, but now it's coming to bite white men in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Well, because that feminism is starting to, that's why white men will listen to me, because I'll keep getting messages where they'll say, it's not just y'all having to deal with this. They know they're having the problem. The difference is white men still have the power to punish.
They're fucking with Asian women. Exactly. And that's why they're fucking with Asian women. It's something in the few white dudes that I used to talk to when I was in college and stuff, and when I'm at work that I get to talk to, I tell them that half of the problems you're dealing with is because you let your elite white people go out and do shit. And so when other races and other groups look at you angry, you're asking, why y'all looking at us like that? We're not doing anything. Yeah, yes, you are. You're allowing your elite white people to do shit and fuck people over. And because those people can't get to them, they're going to fuck with you.
Yep.
And that's what average white people don't get. Y'all let them do that because y'all think because y'all white, somehow y'all are, it's almost like black women. Somehow you're related to that. You know, you're related to that because you're white just like them. But those people got private planes. When the shit hit the fan, they out of here. And you know who's going to get fucked? You. Because you let them do that shit.
Exactly. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring in some more people to join the conversation right here. Let's bring in Irk the Nerve from the 859. Everybody, I want you guys to be quick. Say your point because I'm going to try my best to get everybody in. Irk the Nerve, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tommy, man? First of all, I just want to say thank you, man, for what you do and everything you say. Your thoughts are very inspirational. And I'd like to point out a few things about this Chris Dorner situation.
Yeah, I saw what you were writing, and that's why I wanted to bring you in. First off, I want to thank you for everything that you just said, but I wouldn't be anything without you guys actually saying that there's something to hear. But I saw what you were writing, and I really want you to make sure that everyone hears what you were writing, please.
Well, I just wanted to make a quick point. I won't hog up the lines much. I just wanted to say that Michael C. Ruppert was a LAPD detective, and officer, and he exposed the LAPD in November 15, 1996 for crimes and narcotics and things like that, selling narcotics, police officers selling narcotics and things like that. So Chris Dorner's manifesto is not too far from the truth, and I think we all concerned people need to look more into his manifesto. And the manifesto that is given by the media, by the the major media stations may be watered down and may be tampered with to fit their agenda as well. We have to understand that Chris Dorner is a U.S. naval officer. Was not given a trial. He was honorably discharged, honorably. He was not a high schooler going into the police force. He was a very intelligent man, and he had vital and very substantial gripes that needed to be addressed within the their office or their department in the LAPD. The reason they say that he was let go from the LAPD is he was reporting that his partner, and a fellow officer, was being abusive to an assailant.
Yeah, kicked him in the face or something.
Now,
yeah.
From what I understand. Now, this goes back to what he was saying about the Rodney King era. If it has not changed, this is what we're going through, and this is what we're experiencing. This is the type of things that he is seeing on an everyday basis. And to deal with that every day and to be frustrated not being heard. And so you have to also think about it. How many black officers willingly helped hunt that man down?
Mm-hmm.
How many black officers knew of the corruption within their department and helped hunt that man down? We have to put that into account.
Mm-hmm.
This is a military industrial complex prison state, and this is an example, and we all seen it on TV. This man was hunted down, the first U.S. citizen to be hunted down by predator drones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You
oh, it's
on
coming.
American soil.
To understand
mm-hmm.
what that means.
Oh, that's coming.
You
on
have
American
to
soil.
What that
Please
that's...
understand. This was a a test run. Everything that they
yes,
do
yes,
is
sir.
Done in a test run to see
mm-hmm.
how you will feel. So they made this guy, quote unquote, one of the most vile characters out there, and tell you he's so well trained that we need to use this.
Mm.
And once you allow them to use it once.
Once.
You open a precedent to rap.
The abuse against citizens whenever they feel the need to, and that's dangerous. And Tommy, I have to go. I really appreciate you letting me online. I've been listening to your show ever since I found you, man, and I'm going to continue to listen, and I'm going to continue to share your information with anyone that's willing to listen. Thank you.
Well, thank you, brother. It takes brothers like you and all of these other brothers, Leroy, Jason Black, and that's why I love when Jason comes on. Cause
oh, yeah, tell Jason that he is a brilliant speaker. Thank you.
Yeah,
yes.
He is.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing with me is I believe in if you're gonna be either good coach or have a good team, you better surround yourself with people who not only can play but play their position well.
Mm.
So you never have to worry about me saying, I don't like having Jason on the show. I'm in competition. I ain't in competition with nobody if we're speaking the truth. There's no competition here. My broadcast is not about competing. Y'all see, when I let Jason on, he gets to have free run of the show. I could give a crap less because I want the audience to be taught something. There are too many black folks that don't want the audience to be taught something. That's
if
why you got people
them.
Like Creflo Dollar who goes back and forth from his churches on Saturday to Sunday because he want to be the only one standing in front of them and talk.
And they'll knock you down. And it's one thing I've never really been good at. If I know that Tommy is a better player than I am, I am not going to hate on you so much that I will knock you down. If I can't be the player, then none of us are going to be the player. It just blows my mind, those people that I come in contact with that are like that.
Well, that's what I didn't understand. But Leroy, that's what I didn't understand about that advice show. Everybody heard how I talked to that man on our phone conversation. I talked
mm-hmm.
to that man with common sense. Even though this nigga was doing what he was doing to me, I just assume, surely if you talk with logic to a black man, you'll realize that there's space for everybody to work. The man got so damn dirty that now he's up there making videos talking about some Harvey Superboy. Y'all should go and subscribe to him. But he followed me around for 9 months and never made a video and said, hey, y'all should go subscribe to Tommy. Now, why do you think he did that? Why do you think now he's made a video talking about, hey, y'all should go and subscribe to Harvey Superboy? But for 9 months, he was my biggest fan. He said his son was my biggest fan. But not at one time did he tell anybody, hey, that Tommy's pretty damn good. Why do you think he didn't do that?
Because sometimes, in people's minds, sometimes the imitation is better than the original. And that's what he's banking on. He's banking on copying you so well that he outdoes you in being you. And yep. I don't get that either.
And I tell people all the time, you got to know the art of war if you're going to fight a damn war. And every day I realize when I wake up, when I realize it had gotten this serious, that I'm always in war. So when people tell me it's not that serious, I tell them, oh, yes, the fuck it is. That's why your life is where it is, because you don't understand what is and is not that serious. You still running around saying having a perm and a weave is not that serious. Okay, then. Well, I understand what I'm doing, and I don't stop fighting with people who I know will kill me. That's why white people make sure they prove a damn point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my job was, to prove a damn point. If I go overboard with one motherfucker, the next person will think twice.
I don't know. I've gotten to the point where I think this shit might as well crash. Let it all fucking burn. Let it burn to the ground. Because I've gotten to the point where and I'm only 26. I remember thinking to myself a few days ago, like, God damn, I don't know how much longer I could do this shit. Like, wake up in the morning, same routine at work, listening to the same bullshit, listening to the same niggas talking about this same basketball, talking about Kobe or fucking LeBron. I swear to God, if I hit that shit one more time, I'm going to fucking jump off a bridge and I'm taking everybody down with me.
I'm with
hearing
you.
These niggas talk about the same, I swear to God, you know.
That's why I was behind Christopher Dorner, because I'm tired of niggas doing nothing. And I felt ashamed that he's doing more than me. And I felt ashamed that this man has said, I'm not afraid to take on the system. Because I know for a fact, every time I see the police in my back, in my rear view, I'm still afraid. Every time I get around these folks, I'm still realizing. But I know not everybody can be a soldier, a warrior. Some people have to be that fake mouthpiece like them white people have that go around telling the world everything okay while they're building an army to come and invade your ass.
Yep. And white people are good at that shit.
Yes.
Are they good at that?
White people always have somebody talking to you, trying to tell you everything is all right.
The missionaries? Woo.
Yes.
So go send some missionaries over there to South America. Go ahead. Missionary
and that's
land.
What black people don't get. Black people sit there and say, oh, he's being nice to those white people on his show. That's my motherfucking job. What do you want me to do? Self-destruct so I have no forum now? But that'll make them happy. We're the only group where if I don't have it, then none of us should have it. We're the only group that works that way. That's why that dude was willing to tell everybody, hey, go subscribe to Harvey Superboy, because he knows nobody will go. Harvey's not big enough. It's easy to say it about him. He's trying to get the people on a small level to just back him up because he has no real fans. He has nobody real that likes him. So he was smart enough to go after somebody small and say, hey, if I can get enough of these small people, then I can come back and fuck with Tommy. Because all I'll do is just get people who don't like it. If the man wanted to talk about the truth is the truth. And you would never care who speaks the truth. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't give a damn that me and Dan Freeman had a problem. I still didn't have a problem with him no longer than the one video I made. Because everything else he says is pretty much what I say.
And you know
why
what
the fuck are we going to argue all day?
You guys have a mutual respect for each other because I watched one of his latest videos and he mentioned you in a kind of like how you did, kind of like in a positive light. And I could see like, and I, it's crazy because they're like, yeah, we had that little argument. But anyway, Tommy was right about this. You know, like that's what he does, you know.
I said, look, I mean, he'd been on my fan page. I called him out because I said, what he did was wrong. You don't get no hoes, because he had been making videos in support of me all the time. Then he made this one video in support of the hoes, and I was like, you don't make that video. That was my only point to him. You don't make that video. If you got a problem with me, you come and tell me and ask me about it before you make a damn video in support of some damn woman, especially a woman with a white husband who told you what the problem was, and so you took it and ran. And you surely got to understand when you speaking to another grown man, us African men, we got to learn how to talk to each other. You can't talk about a nigga you've never spoken to and call him pussy punk and all this shit and then think everything's supposed to be okay after you do that.
Oh, man.
And that's what I tried to explain to him. But we grown-ass men. I look on my fan page, I see him on that, and he'll thumbs up shit. He won't say much, but he'll thumbs up shit. And I made sure I reached out to him. I said, we have no beef. We have no problem. Because I don't want a beef with no black man. Because all they want to do in the midst of every argument, and I hate to say it, and the black women who are listening, I'm tired of saying I hate to say it, but y'all need to get this. Y'all are the biggest dividers in the black community. Y'all wake up every day to see if you can get two girlfriends to hate each other, two co-workers to hate each other, two niggas on the block to hate each other, two family members to hate each other. You only see black women doing this crap.
How many black men kill each other over pussy every day?
Right.
How many niggas kill each other over some raggedy ass, a million mile pussy every day? Black women.
I've seen niggas fight on, it was a bitch on Facebook. Was running around. They don't even know if this bitch was real. It was just a picture. The bitch was a listener to the show and used to call in. She claimed she was white and Mexican or whatever. I don't know the bitch. She got mad because I wasn't, I don't know. When she was in some group and that group was talking crap about me and I looked and saw I was the administrator, I just blocked her. I don't give a fuck about hoes. I don't. What did she start doing? Telling other niggas I was trying to get at her and shit. And, you know, she can't talk to them because, you know, she kind of interested in me. And I was like, the fuck? That's a lie. But them niggas was falling for it. There was some niggas online was fighting and arguing over a bitch they had never seen. I said, what is wrong with black men? Are they desperate for pussy that much?
Yes.
That they willing to fight and argue over a bitch that typed them some nice shit and put up a nice picture?
I will give you this. Somebody said earlier in the chat session, maybe an hour ago, that black people are addicted to sex. And it's so true. I was in the room. We were talking. And it was just me and one girl on my side and all the other guys who happened to be black, obviously. And we had this debate where what is more important to women, money or sex? If they had to choose one, money, which is going to be security, blah, 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 and everything else, or sex, which some women equate to love, whatever. And all the guys were like, sex, sex. If you dick a girl down the right way, she going to stay. But if you just got money, that bitch might cheat on you with the pool guy and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, do y'all understand how important security is for women? I thought I was the one in here that didn't know shit about women.
Not black women, though. Black women would sit up there and take, listen to what he told you. He said he was speaking from a white perspective. He said, well, a woman will take your money, live in your house, but fuck the pool boy. Yeah, but a white woman is smart enough to get you to marry her so she can fuck the pool boy.
And even that, I was telling them, there's, for the most part, we have these stereotypes, but for the most part, women ain't going to, real women ain't going to risk that shit. They just going to deal with your fucked up sex ass. That's what they're going to do.
But
that money's on point.
I believe for the most part, like most of them women will step out. They just do. That's just something that white women are known for, stepping out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that white men have come to expect. They believe that if you're working that much, your woman will, there's few things that she won't do. Like white people believe in honor amongst thieves.
Yes.
They believe that she won't have these kids that aren't yours. She might fuck the pool boy, but your kid ain't going to come out looking Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
A black girl will fuck the pool boy and have his baby.
And tell you, and get you to sign the birth certificate, and then laugh in your face, and then
exactly.
Leave you for him, and then have you pay child support.
You look at Neo's baby mama. Neo's baby mama
man.
Wasn't even smart enough to just get pregnant by Neo. If this is the nigga you fucking, you are fucking a million-dollar dick, and you was too stupid to not just fuck him until your seed was fertilized, until your egg was fertilized.
Nope.
This is how dumb you were. This is how stupid you are. You will ruin your lottery ticket. You got it in your hand, and they tell you, run into the bank and cash it. But you will say, well, I want to stop off somewhere and tell everybody that I won first. That's black women. So when you hear these people say it, black women are addicted to dick. And they're addicted to random dick.
It was crazy.
And they're addicted to producing children from those random dick. Because they don't even have the ability to say to themselves or the rest of the world, yes, I'm fucking a thug, but I will not reproduce by this thug.
I don't know. I wish I should have I recorded it or something. Because I'm in there and I'm listening to them speak. And I'm like, are you guys shitting me right now? You guys are under the impression that dick is more important than security to women. And I guess you're right, because I guess for black women, it probably is.
Black women talk about it. I can post right now and put good dick. I said it all the time. I say good dick is got it. I tell people all the time, my dick got a silencer included. Think about this. Out of all the crap people talk about me, why have you not seen one ex-girlfriend ever come out and say nothing stupid against me? And I'm openly saying this shit, and it still won't happen. Ask yourself why. Out of all the people putting shit out there, why they ain't done it? When I come on here and say a nigga got a big dick, why ain't one of them hoes said that's a lie? When I come on here and say I get the puss in the first week, why ain't one of them hoes came on and said, that's a lie? Made a YouTube video, this nigga's lying. I don't pay for shit. Somebody should have came out and said, that's a lie.
Because you can only bluff somebody when they're bluffing. You can only call somebody's bluff when they're bluffing. Can't call somebody bluff if they're not bluffing.
I'm good at I pick the bitch that don't say shit. She might hate my guts, but she go away. I fuck a bitch sitting right there next door to y'all, and she won't even tell you she fucked me. She won't act a fool. But I said it early in the show. Y'all need to pick who y'all fucking better.
It's not. I remember something that you say often, that it's a shame that you could fuck the same girl I can fuck. You know, like, and it's true with black women. And they will go from fucking a doctor and then fuck a lawyer. And fuck a garbage man. Garbage man making like 60 G's a year, 70 G's. So that's, you know, money point. He's on point, you know. You know, and then go fuck a bum.
A black woman's pussy resume is horrible. And black women get mad at me because I'm telling black men to start reading the fucking resume and treat them just like they just told you their background was. If I see that your ass worked at Kmart and Walmart, then, bitch, you don't have a problem with working seasonal and for an hourly wage around 10 bucks. Why am I saying this? Because I'm reading your resume. And I'm not going to overpay you for something I know you're not used to.
So when I leave that $150 on the counter, you can't say shit.
Right. I read your pussy resume. So black men will listen to a black woman tell them they used to date a crackhead. They'll listen to a black woman tell them their baby dad ain't shit. And then they will feel the need to outperform the fucking roles of somebody who produced. In one of my songs, I said it. In my song called Stop, I said, I want these girls to stop trying to make me their kid's father. When the nigga that fucked them, yo, he won't even bother. So why should I treat you better than him when you done got your pussy wetter for him? You had this man's son, and he don't give a fuck about you or your son. Why the fuck I'm going to treat you better than that? White men tell they women that crap, and they women adhere to it. Because they know them white men ain't going to bring no bitch home with no 19-year-old nigga, a 14-year-old nigga, and a 12-year-old bitch by three different men. The only time a white man will do that is if the woman he trying to marry, they both in their 50s, and them kids came from her marriage.
Those kids are long gone. The youngest one is probably just getting out of high school. But, yeah, that...
Black men be trying to start families with bitches that already got families.
Ooh,
then most of us can't even start a family with the bitch that got a family because she got a family with a nigga that ain't shit, and you just got to take care of the kids.
Oh, man. Are you saying it right?
Black men are perpetual stepdaddies.
and you're speaking to something greater right now, because when I talk to the guys in the room, that's one of their biggest arguments. What you think people out here ain't out here fucking? What you think these niggas out here? You mean, you, of course, nobody, hey, Alex, nobody walking around here not fucking. Nobody gonna walk around here, you know, she might have a kid or two. So what you trying to say? And I'm like, you guys are trying to tell me that because what I'm asking for is a lot, and it's rare, that I shouldn't even look for it. I shouldn't even ask for it because it's I'm not likely to find it. But that's why I want it even more. But so I can be that guy, like, yeah, I got that trophy. That trophy girl in the corner right there. See that chick right there that look like A. Marie? Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
I had to tell a girl this when we were having a conversation this weekend. I told a girl, I said, every man wants to be with a chick that is free and say, I wish I had a chick like that. When they were telling me looks don't matter, I said, to a man, looks mean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we get a nice car. We don't know shit about it, but if other people say, man, I love that car, we love driving it. We love driving what you say you love looking at.
Mm.
Motherfucker was asking me, well, why, you know, you did, but I said, look, I know me and that girl wasn't meant to be together. She was fine as fuck, and that's why I was fucking her. It was fun to walk around with this bitch and get free shit.
Man,
it is really nice to get
God.
In clubs for free because you with a fine bitch. It's really nice to have niggas you've never met walk up to you and try to be your homeboy because your bitch is that fine.
Tommy, I got one better. When a guy's walking with his girl and he's walking out the door and you're walking in the door with your girl and he's breaking his neck to look at. Women have no idea how good that shit feels.
It's a great feeling. I'm not going to let no
God,
bitch tell me no different.
That feels so good.
I'm not going to let no bitch tell me no different. That's why I tell them up front. I don't give a fuck how much I love you. If I get a chance to fuck A. Marie, I'm doing it. We'll talk about it after I get done.
That
I spent my whole life trying to
question.
Fuck a bitch that fine. I'm not going to turn that shit down because you took me. My dick, the money I had in my wallet only allowed me to be able to date you. Now the money's allowing me to date her. I might not leave you for her, but I'm going to fuck her because I would like to experience it. It is the exact same reason why when we got some money, you stopped driving that motherfucking Beetle and you done went up to a better car. You're no longer shop at Walmart. You're now shopping at motherfucking Saks Fifth Avenue. So I ain't fucking just your pussy no more. I'm getting some more pussy that I wish I could have got when I had the money.
You know what's funny? People don't talk about. We don't tell each other the truth. We know. No lie. Kanye. Kanye would not pull a Kim Kardashian without Kanye's money right now. There would be no Jay-Z pulling no Beyonce, even if they were both broke, without Jay-Z's money right now. Okay? Let's be real. Without Jay-Z's money right now. Okay? Nas and Khalees, possibly. She got a cute face, but, you know, Nas doesn't look like a camel, so, you know, whatever.
Well,
but,
I don't know. If we hood enough, if the person who we with is hood, because actually Beyonce is kind of hood.
She
you
is.
Can get her if y'all both hood. And that's why I say a black woman's pussy resume is pretty ugly.
Mm.
If you look at who they slept with, like, again, I love Elise, me.
Mm-hmm.
We cool. But I didn't find out till after I was in Memphis that she used to be with Rick Ross.
Can't? Can't even say that shit in English. That's how much that shit
I know. And I made sure that I said something about it, and it didn't go over well.
Of course, that women don't like when you bring up the fact that, bitch, you fucked him, and you think you're good. Tommy, I'd be pissed. The one Spanish girl I have in my room, she's 21, 22. I say, I piss her off like every day, but the shit that come out my mouth, it's not even funny. I'm like, women actually, you trying to tell me you fuck with a nigga like that? Why? And I say it kind of in a mean way sometimes, but I'm like, you fucked with a nigga like that. What makes you think after you fuck with a nigga like that, that somebody like me should fuck with you?
Your pussy resume, have you noticed that a woman will look at your dick resume? That's why niggas be hiding their baby mama. If you got an ugly baby mama, you don't show that bitch's picture nowhere.
Nobody know who we're crossing baby mamas are. Nobody know how. The one before, the one that 50 made the video with, nobody know nothing about that chick. Where is your baby mom?
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
No. I'm not putting that bitch out in front street, because I know if everybody know I used to fuck this fat, ugly bitch, it's going to be hard for me to get some pussy behind that.
As men's money go up, the girls that we get look better and better and better. Okay. I'm sorry, ladies. That is the way it go. I know y'all wish love would trump that. In some cases, it does. We'll still be married to you, but we'll be fucking super
fine. Exactly. You look at somebody like, you look at somebody like Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm going to stay with my wife because she was with me through the good times, the bad times. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to fuck a couple of these white hoes.
What?
I ain't
going exactly.
to bring it to your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to do nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to do nothing to risk our family. But I'm going to fuck this bitch. Because I've never had this exposure. Now, I know women are saying, well, this is wrong that you say this. But you know how many men are listening to me? That's why men like listening to me, because they say that nigga say shit that I wish I could say. They hope that this shit will sink in their girl's head. Stay with me all you want. Let me fuck around and win $20 million. Yes, I'm going to treat you well. Yes, I'm going to give you a lot of money.
Give you the world.
Because you was there with me. Because I genuinely love you.
But my dick is a whole different story.
Right. I love you. I love my mediocre pussy. You stuck with me when I wasn't shit. But I'm fucking this bitch that I just saw on HLN.
What?
I'm fucking that bitch.
Man, there's a Joelle Monáe getting knocked down. A Marie's getting knocked down. Solange is getting knocked down. I could list them. I already got it. Let me win $100 million. Knocking on all their door. Hello, my name is Alex. That's
but
all
this
you
is
need
what
to
I'm
know.
Saying. But let me tell you something. If black men could be more honest and say, we need to be, here's the one thing that I'm telling y'all black men, I'm going to bring in some more people. If black men could do one thing today, I would ask black men to be unapologetic.
Sure.
Stop apologizing for what you think, what you believe, what you want, what you need, what you like. That's why these niggas be happier when they get with white girls. You can do some nasty shit with a white girl and she don't make you feel bad for it. You can tell a black girl you want a threesome and she'll go to fuck off you like you ain't. I had a black girl go off on me because I said I want a threesome, and then I found out this bitch had did a threesome with her fucking friend and her friend's man. So you done a threesome with your friend and your friend's man, but you tried to make me feel bad for saying I would enjoy one. That's when I realized black women are full of shit. They want you to believe some lies about them instead of the truth about them. They'll lie their ass off. White girl might not give you a threesome, but she won't feel bad knowing that you like threesomes.
I realized that women were full of shit when I was in the room, and these guys were telling me, and the girl in the room was telling me, yeah, they would do freaky shit with their ex-man while they're dating another dude that they're not doing shit with him. They're not even fucking this guy. But
I used to fuck my ex-girlfriend, and she had a nigga that bought her tickets to go and see Mint Condition. Hung out with that nigga all night. Went to damn dinner with this nigga. Soon as they got through with their date, that bitch called me. Listen, we are grown-ass people. I was 29, maybe 30. I drove to meet this bitch at a park. Fucked her in the back of her van, and she drove off.
Wow.
This is a 33-year-old bitch. She was like 33, 34. I'm 30. She's an old bitch fucking the shit out of me, talking about some, I'm going to fuck you until I feel like he's worthy of this pussy.
Wow. And I want to understand, and I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say it and make this statement anyway. What type of logic do you have to convince yourself that is perfectly okay? The fact that you're either fucking your ex or fucking some other nigga, that you don't plan to be in a relationship with guy A. You're just fucking guy A. You plan on being in a relationship with guy B, but you ain't fucking guy B. But somehow, guy B is supposed to understand that shit if he ever finds out.
There was a girl in college who sucked every one of the dudes in my crew. Now, this was six people deep. She sucked five of the niggas' dick, fell in love with the sixth nigga, and wouldn't suck his dick, and tried to explain to us five niggas that she won't suck his dick because she really like him and she don't want him to think she's a hoe. And I said, don't you think we've told this man you suck? I can't believe y'all would tell him. I said, he's a friend. How do you think the other four niggas got you to suck their dick? Because one nigga one told nigga two. Are you that stupid?
Wow.
But this bitch actually thought you can fool a black man into doing anything. And honestly, they end up fooling a black man into doing anything. Some niggas gonna sit up there and lay up with that bitch that was on my show. Guarantee you, with all them tattoos on her back and all them stories of niggas fucking her in the club, she's going to get a nigga that's probably worth a damn. I guarantee you she's going to get a hard-working nigga to lay up with her. Watch.
And Tommy, and I say this on your show all the time, and I say this to all my friends, and I say this to all my family, I would rather be single for the rest of my fucking life than to take some fucking used ass, fucking used to fuck with a drug dealer, used to fuck with Rick Ross ass pussy. If Amory, if I found out Amory was doing that shit, I would, you would never hear her fucking name come out my mouth ever again.
Like, Leroy, if you find out a bitch fuck me, tell her you better than that. I'm telling you to your face. If she say I used to fuck Tommy, be like, well, all right then. I'm good on this date.
Oh, man. You know why I'm like that, Tommy? For me, it's a matter of disrespect, and I don't think people see it that way. I don't think people see it that way. Like, Biz, we had a conversation in the room, what's your number? And I was like, the number thing, the reason why I find it disrespectful is not because it's necessarily the number. It's the fact that you think you could come to me after 20 dicks, after 15, after 30, and I'm supposed to be the one to wife you
black
up.
Women
that's
think
what
that
I find disrespectful.
Listen, black women think black men are so weak that we got these black women who will have kids by several different men who will sell a black man in this new virgin crap and niggas will put up with it. Jeez. Y'all will still date a bitch that tell you she a new virgin and she gonna make you wait. And these niggas do it.
And it's an insult. It's an insult to me if I'm a paralegal or attorney, you know, making my little 50, 45, or 70, 80 G's a year, you know, whatever. And you come to me, and you used to fuck with the D-boy down the street, you know. And we're not talking about you're young. We're not talking about when you were 20. We're talking about when you were 25. We're talking
only
about when
you were
27.
Be in Miami this week. We going to hook up?
I don't know if I'm off. I do get paid this week, though, so my money will be on point. Okay, I'm gonna let you know. I'm gonna let you know. Actually, how am I gonna let you know? I need some info.
Email me. I'll give you all my information. And you ain't gotta worry about you ain't gotta worry about buying nothing. Shit on me. I was just saying I was gonna say what's up to you. Now you ain't gotta buy nothing for me.
Tell me, don't make me turn into a girl and make you swipe for everything. Okay. I'll be like,
that's
him.
What I do. Everything that done met me from the show, they'll tell you. When I meet you, it's only put your shit in your pocket. When I met the nigga up in Memphis, put your wallet away, man.
But, yeah, I will see. I think I am off on Saturday. I really hope I am. And when are you coming down?
I'm coming. I'll make my trek down there starting on Saturday, probably be there on Sunday, and I'll be there until Thursday.
Oh, see, when you get here on Sunday, okay, I got to see. If you get here on Saturday night, I'm going to try to set something up with Oliver. Actually, I don't know if you remember who that is.
Yeah, I remember.
And see, so I'll see what he's up to and probably he'll hit up a restaurant or something like that down here.
All right, then. Let's bring in some more people. I know I said I was going to bring them in. We don't over-talk to people. Now they ain't got no but 10 more damn minutes, son of a bitch.
Oh, I'm going to get off. I'm going to get off, bitch. You over here killing my time. I have work in the morning, okay?
Go to
be
bed.
Up at 6:20.
Go to bed. A.N., what's up? Talk to me. You got A.N., you're in the show. A.N., what's happening?
What's up?
Not much. Talk to me.
Oh, man. Let me see. I'm over here and got sidetracked. Man, I just wanted to answer the show topic. And,
go ahead. What do you think? I said black men, what I wanted black men to do is be unapologetic. What do you think black men could do to help their community?
I think we need to focus on reaching out and finding, you know, children that had an entrepreneurial spirit. You know what I'm saying? Because we need black business, the only thing that's going to solve our problem. The old girl you had on the show touched on the main problem. It's like, yeah, people feel like it. We talk a lot of shit in the living room, but we know – if we go out and say anything, motherfucker, we're going to get fired. You know what I mean? Or the people at work ain't going to look to the same. We never going to make it up. Da, 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 da. But if you got your own business, you don't got to worry about that kind of shit. Or if you got, if everybody at work, you know, they feel the same way. Instead of the living room, you're talking like this in a break room. Like, you know, white people, I done been at work so many times with white people, they get to saying some shit like, I remember my boss was saying, like, yeah, I'll take my daughter to the American graves or something. And she said something about not appreciating America. I'll take her to the graves of the American soldiers. I ain't say shit. In my head, I'm like, fuck you, soldier. What does that got to do with me? You know what I mean? I'll take you to my ancestors' graves. What about that? You know what I mean? Everybody else in the room is on one page. But if it was my business and I was the boss and it was my, you know what I mean, my thing, and I'm in the break room talking like that, everybody agreeing with me, we could come out and say, yeah, Christopher Dorner got them white folks shook, which is what most of us feel, you know what I mean? But if ain't nobody trying to get their own business and get that power to where they could say that, we'll never get to that point. You know what I mean?
I feel you. That is a very, very good point you made there.
And just one more quick thing. You know, I wanted to say to everybody that's, like, coming up as a kid, I mean, I'm 25, kind of like the last dude you had on there. Everybody tell you coming up, you know what I mean? They say, go to school, get an education, get a good job. Go to school, get an education, get a good job. Go to school, get an education. Stop telling kids that. You know what I mean? Tell them that. Tell them that. But instead of just jumping straight to getting a good job, because getting a good job, that's cool. Tell them to start a business. Say, go to school, get an education, start a business.
I tell them to get a trade. Because in life, let me tell you something. An education does you nothing when we get into that race war. You need a skill.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about it. When your boy, when Steve Jobs them got a skill, they left college.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't like they weren't smart enough to stay in college. They just left college. That's why they sell stupid shit to black folks, why they sit up there and tell the only sports where they tell you need to stay in college for a long time or to go to college is sports dominated by blacks.
Yeah.
You can play tennis professionally at 12. You can race cars as soon as you get a driver's license. And before then, you still can drive.
That's a good point, because a few years ago, it was a dude who got into a pro at 19. It's just the way it worked out where he went.
Joey Logano.
Joey
Logano.
That's a good point, man. But in basketball,
in football, you got to say 3 years. So you got that South Carolina defensive end right now who could be playing big time in pros, but he got to keep playing college one more damn year. To get his knee fucked up, to get his head fucked up, to get his arm fucked up, because they trying to tell you need to go to college.
That's good. I mean, and that's also putting a lot more money in the NCAA's pocket.
Thank you. It's putting more money in their pocket, and it's taking money out of your pocket. Because if you can come into the NFL at 20, your next big contract will be at 20, 23, 24. But when you got to come out at 22, 23, your next big contract is at 26. What's the difference? You miss a whole contract. So instead of getting three big contracts, you only get two. And if you're a running back, you only get one.
Yeah, you should do something about that, too, because the NCAA, I don't understand how it's – well, I understand it, but it's crazy to me how you go around – and it's all black people talk about sports. We all know that. So we'll talk about sports 24/7, but nobody has came to the conclusion yet that NCAA shit is slavery, bro.
I told them, and I keep saying, this is the third year on the show I've made mention to the fact that black kids at the Final Four this year, whoever makes it to the Final Four needs to not walk out there on that floor, needs to not show the fuck up. Do you know how much money they would lose? It ain't like they can stop you from playing.
Right.
Next year. If they thought they were, if they tried to sanction you, go to a black college. Play there. If you're that damn good, you're still going to go to the pros.
Right.
Here's another thing black folks ain't done. We are the number one players in the NFL. How Vince McMahon going to try to start a league, but niggas ain't tried to start a league? How is it that we are the number one players in the NBA? Again, white folks start a basketball league, but no black folks have said, Fuck that. We could get all the NBA, I mean the NBC money. We could get a big television contract easy if Kobe and all the niggas walked away.
Right. Yeah.
Look at what happened with Tiger. Tiger was contemplating on having the Tiger Tour instead of the PGA Tour. And that's when shit happened about his wife.
Yeah, it makes sense. You'll only come to the conclusion, but that's the thing. We're not taught, like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of things. It's like, I was talking because I call him uncle because he's like a friend of the family. Like, when I was growing up, I used to actually, I was a little hustler. I used to do different stuff. Like, I would sell different things. He used to have some T-shirts. I used to sell those. Not too long ago, I went to him and was like, you know what? It would be kind of if somebody did this, put this on the shirt or whatever. It didn't really dawn on me, you know what I mean, because I was waiting on him, and then I thought about it. I'm like, man, I could just do this shit myself. And I know this, but still, it just don't really dawn on you because nobody beat that in my head like they beat it in my head that I was going to finish college. I didn't think about that. When we start beating that into people's head that you need to own whatever you do and make it to the point where nothing else makes sense because that's what everybody else seems to be doing. I left college and came back. Everything that was black business is now a Mexican business. I live in San Diego. Everything that was a black business, everybody I used to, like, collaborate with for clothes and different stuff like that, whether it be business or buying it, it's now Mexican now. You know what I mean? Because everybody else is doing it, but we're not doing it.
And people don't understand. The Negro Leagues were so popular and so profitable that the white man was watching that and was pissed off. That's, again, when people don't understand what I meant by integration, every time white people are going into...
Worst things happen to us.
Yes, every time white people have wanted to destroy black prosperity, he integrated them. He integrated football when blacks were making money hand over fist. He integrated baseball when blacks were making money hand over fist with the Negro Leagues. They did the same thing with something as sinister as drugs up in Harlem. When black people started making a bunch of money in drugs, the Bumpy Johnsons, they got rid of that shit.
Yeah, anything. They always gonna shut it down. They need a piece of that. You can't operate unless they're getting that. We need to be the owners, and then y'all can brag about your $100 million contract. But I got enough money to pay you $100 million contract. But nobody's talking about that. But as long as it's like that, then it's fine. You can have it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you can sell drugs as long as you're selling them under Gambino or whatever Italian all these black dudes want to be.
You got people like Biggie Smalls making songs, making sure all the black rappers. Why you think all the black rappers take on Italian names?
Yeah, that's exactly. So
they can't take on a nigga name and make a nigga name be something. They had Bumpy Johnson, and now nigga called himself Bumpy Johnson. How about that?
Yeah. No,
now
not
nigga tough. Called himself Bumpy Johnson. What the fuck is up with that?
Yeah, you got to be white or you ain't tough. You know, that's some inferiority shit. I'm Gambino, Joey Casino. Like, man, what the hell is wrong? I'm Joe Pesci, nigga.
Hey, A.N., do me a favor. Everybody that's on the line, I'm so sorry. What we're going to do in the next show, it's just going to be a show for the audience. All show. Just y'all talking.